జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదానికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహు శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరి భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి నమామి కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంతస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాంబియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే దుర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమాధుర్యోజ్జ్వల ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిదా శ్రీ గౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తునే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతధ్వందహారిణే. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబనసాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయతే. గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్తు నిర్దోష్ట సజ్జన ప్రియ వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ తే నమః. వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదజ్ఞాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్యనామ్నే దూరద్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాస్త్రియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తునే. సురగౌభాంగో మమ మందమదే అర్గది మత్సర్వస్వదాంభోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాన శ్రీమన్నరత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రష్టాళి విశ్వమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమంత్రాసరసారంభి వంశీవటతస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వరే గోవేర్గోపినాథా శ్రీయస్తునా. తప్తగర్జన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరే.
జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీనివాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవనాం నారాయణేన స్వయం గ్రదినాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబద్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధి పునరవిందాయ నమత్ర నేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప పవన్నవారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థోవల్స సుదేవోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవా పారాశల్యవచ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరహ పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లింఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవే వేదే సాంగపదే క్రమోపనిషదే గాయన్నియం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యన్నియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః.
So, we just started discussing this 12th canto, isn't it? We have seen, as I mentioned before, that this ashraya means taking shelter. Ashraya means taking shelter. So, why taking shelter after self-realization? That question will come, isn't it? Because, if you remember, that the 13 chapters in this 12th canto, Krishna has discussed what is called ashraya, which is Suta Shaunaga Sambadam form. Shaunaga Rishi asking questions, Suta Goswami answering them. This is the format of this 12th canto now. You will see there that the the creation has come from Krishna.
creation has come from Krishna. Because it has come from Krishna, creation has to be on the shelter of Krishna all the time. Under no circumstances, creation is independent. That is the reason why it is said like this. That any circumstances, no matter what happens in spiritual life, because everything is coming from Krishna, it's always under Krishna's shelter. Because it's Krishna is the origin. So, therefore, that billions of living entities who are in the creation, for them, the actual shelter is Krishna, because it's from Him everything has come. And when devastation happens, the living entities has to go back to Krishna one way or the other. They have no other place to go, because they come from there. And that is why, in the first six chapters you will see, Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit that not to delay about hearing about Krishna, because that opportunity may not come again in life. The chance to hear about Krishna is a very, very rare thing. And therefore, he says, Sudha Goswami also says, and Shuka Brahmarshi also says to Parikshit, that not to delay this. It's not to be kept for some other time. When there is an opportunity to hear about Krishna's position, that is what it is meant to communicate to us. Who is Krishna? What is Krishna's position in this? In this creation? When we understand that, naturally we will realize it, that going back to Krishna is the only business for us. There's nothing else here. Because we have come from there, we are meant to go back there. So, and in order to say that, they have adopted a different way of putting it here. Don't delay it, the reason being, the time is bad. The time that's coming now is bad. Rishis, the sages knew this more than anyone else because they have understood what this time means. What time is. That when Krishna left the planet, already Kaliyugam has entered. And the symptoms of all that has already started manifesting in this world. And therefore, they are forewarning us. In advance, they are telling us, situation is not good. Situation is not good. Because with Krishna's departure, Kaliyugam has begun. In reality, time has no meaning. Time has no meaning. Can anybody say when the time started? Nobody can say that, isn't it? Time has no meaning. Similarly, you can't say when the time is going to end. So, it is anadi, neither beginning nor end. That is the nature of time. It has no beginning. In reality, it has no beginning. Who can say that when the time has started? Similarly, who can say when the time is going to end? So, as far as time is concerned, it has neither beginning nor end. But in relationship with Krishna's departure, how that will affect this world, that is what the rishis are saying to us. That with Krishna's departure, things have changed here. The situation is not looking very good. And that is why in the first four chapters in this 12th canto, he says, hint to us what is on offer, what is going to happen in the coming years, coming many, many years. What's going to happen here with the advent of Kali and how that Kali will influence everybody. Kali will influence everyone. And where does Kali influence? Kali influence mainly in our thinking, in our brain. That's where Kali affects. And that we can see. That you can see. We have become so conscious of the body, so conscious of the necessity to maintain this body. So, in this first chapter, therefore, that is the most important point they are trying to point out to us. That the situation is not looking good. Actually, Sridharacharya Swamiji, when he comments on Bhagavatam, what he does is, every chapter, prior to beginning the chapter, he will just give you a brief, what is in that particular chapter. He'll mention that, prior to the chapter, in one verse or two verses, he will just mention what is going to happen in this chapter, what's going to be discussed. So when he discussed this 12th canto, Sridharacharya Swamiji says there, Jayanti Paramananda Kripa
Paramananda Kriba Kriba Bhangala Sadrusham Yanityam Anivartande Sampado Vigada Drusha. Then Krishna's eyes is full of compassion, mercy for to everybody. At the same time, and followed by Krishna's eyes is knowledge. And with that, anybody who falls under Krishna's grace or Krishna's mission, he gets taken out from darkness. This is a special benediction, ashrayam. Ashrayam is that. Ashrayam means, if somehow or the other, if we come under Krishna's eyes or Krishna's vision, what will happen is that Krishna's mercy will follow that, and with the result of that, that ajnanam or avidya or ignorance in us will go away. Uktrastrayodasho dhyayar dvadashe tvashraya sadaha adhishtan avadi tvabhyam ashrayasheshva isheshvara sadaha. Then, in the 13 chapters in this 12th canto, ashrayam or taking shelter is discussed. And in there, it's explained here how the whole creation is dependent on Krishna. And Krishna is the shelter for this creation. And in the Jnana Margam or the process of knowledge, they negate everything. Neti, neti, they say. So that negation eventually ends up in Krishna. After negating everything, what exists reality in reality here is only Krishna. That point is also discussed in this. Ukto layavidhitvena pragrata atyantike layam adhishtanade chokto mahapurusha varnane. This is Sridhara Swami's briefing on this canto. He says that the different kinds of devastation, pragratam atyantiyam, different kinds of devastations, and in those situations also, dependence on Krishna is important. And when he is explained about Virat Swarupam, that means the cosmic manifestation, at that time also, as the basis on which this whole manifestation is surviving, that is also Krishna. Tatrado shadbhir adhyaye shuka praha prerichide sheshe tatra ilanyaham suda prishtoda satribi. So, first six chapters, Sukhabrahmarshi talks to Parikshit, and then another remaining chapters, Suta talks to Shaunaga. Swashraya Shravane Kairyo na Vilambo Manishana ityalal Kalavaisham Chadurbi Savad Uchere. So, Krishna, who is the shelter, hearing about him, one shouldn't delay. Because he now, in this next few chapters, how time will influence our life. That's what's going to be spoken. How the time will influence our life here. You may be anybody, but ultimately you are also under the influence of time. We are all under the influence of time, and time is Krishna. Isn't it? Kalosmi loka chayagar pravardha. Bhagavad Gita says, Kalosmi, I am time, Krishna says. I am time. Time is me, Krishna says. Kalosmi, loga chayagar pravarta. Logan samahartam iha pravarta. When I want to destroy something, I come in the form of time and wipe out the whole thing from here. So before, it's an emergency situation that Sridhara Swami says here, that Krishna has left the planet. That's an indication, a strong indication that time is not going to be very good. And tatradu pratame bhavi maghadanvaya bhumivan kali prabhavada prahe sankaradi malimasal. Due to the influence of time, the main thing that will happen is it will affect the administrators of the world, the kings or the administrators, whoever is ruling the planet, their capacity will go. The power of proper administration, they won't have it anymore with Krishna's departure. They have lost that. And even though in the modern world we have a different system, monarchy has gone, it's replaced with democracy and all other things. Practically what Sridhar Ajari says here is that this changing system won't help, because the influence of Kali and influence of time will affect the whole administrative capacity of the rulers, whoever is ruling the planet, wherever they are ruling it. They may not be able to rule the planet properly. They just don't have the capacity to do that.
Evam bhude soma vamshe bhukunda svaira krida varnidadosa eva vamsho bhavi varnide krishna bhaktim mukta mukter varpan astiri vaktvam.
Then in the lunar dynasty, they talked about Krishna's divine pastimes. That again in this canto, that without bhakti, without Krishna consciousness, in other words, that there is no other possibility of getting released from the clutches of prakriti, clutches of maya, in other words. This is how this canto begins. Now, there are certain interesting things here to notice. When you remember, when we discussed the 11th canto, in the last chapter, in the 29th chapter, when Uddhava's instructions were spoken, there is a verse there where Krishna says one interesting thing. What was that? He says, Naidat edad vijnaya. If you look into the 29th chapter, 32nd verse, Krishna's statement that is, and the statement is, it is the 32nd verse, I think. Naidat vijnaya jitnyasaur jnadavyam avashishyade pitva piyusham amrdam padavyam avashishyade. That was that verse. Naidat vijnaya jitnyasaur jnadavyam avashishyade. A person who is serious about spiritual life, Krishna is saying here, there is nothing to be known after hearing all this. Which one? Ekadashas Udhavadesham, Udhava Gita. Naidat edat vijnaya jitnyaso navashishyade pitva piyusham amrdam apadavyam avashishyade. Nothing to be known after that. In spite of all that, in the 12th canto begins, Parikshit is asking some questions. Does that mean Parikshit has not experienced it? This question is coming back here. So, for many, many people, even after self-realization, due to the Purva Samskaram means the previous times what we lived in this body and several other bodies, sometimes some spark of that will come back again into our thoughts. So, even though Krishna has said to Uddhava that after self-realization, that is what that verse is saying, Naidat edad vijnayam jitnyasa avashishyade pitva piyusham urdam padavim avashishyade, he says. So according to, as far as Krishna is concerned, after realization there is nothing to be known. But here, what do you see here? Parikshit Maharaj has heard Ekadasha Skandam, particularly Uddhava Gita, from Sukadeva Goswami. And Parikshit is asking some questions now, which are saying here that even though nothing else is to be known for Parikshit, but still that Parikshit is asking that after Krishna has gone back, who is going to rule the planet? That's interesting, isn't it? That if Parikshit has realized the truth, why Parikshit asked that question? Because as far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, as far as Sukadeva Goswami is concerned, as far as Krishna is concerned, that Naidat edat vijnaya jnadavyam avashishyade, there is nothing to be known after that. But still, Parikshit is asking this question. That is the important point. So from this we have to understand that even in that liberated state, sometimes there will be some samskaram inside which will come out through us. And it is very difficult to curb that. Actually, whole life is nothing but the samskaram flowing through us all the time. Is it not? Sometimes we say, I have done this, I have done that, I am planning this. Actually, nobody has any freedom to do anything here. That is the truth. The truth is, nobody has any freedom to do that. Can you imagine, sometimes your thoughts are concerned. How much freedom have we got? things you never wanted to think about, suddenly that those thoughts comes up inside, in the mind. What does that mean? It means that you haven't got any freedom there. The vasanas inside will create those thoughts inside. Similarly, when all your conversation with people, with others, it is the vasanas that is coming out in the form of conversation. Similarly, whenever there is any action in this world, when you are doing something, that action is also prompted by the vasanas inside. So powerful are the vasanas inside. All your thoughts, all your words, and all your action is completely controlled by the vasanas what we have developed before, by the impressions what we have inside. And that is what is conducting our life in this world. But unfortunately, we don't recognize that. We think Ahankaram is saying to us that I have made this decision. But nothing there. Ahankaram has to follow these vasanas. That's based on the vasanas, Ahankaram will declare all these things. But in reality, it's the vasanas inside that is dictating from within. So therefore, when Parikshit asked this question, just for the sake of Vyavaharam, just to please Parikshit, Shuga Brahmarshi spoke a few things. That is how these first few chapters are in the Bhagavadam. Because what he does is, he says, if you look into the Bhagavadam, you will see, he talks to you about all the dynasties, who will come, who the kings will appear, who has appeared, whose son will come next, after that his son will come, after that his son will come, like this, one after the other, he keeps on saying, and finally he says, they are all bogus, he says. None of them has any reality. That is the beauty of Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is pointing out to us, something that is not real, there is no point in discussing about it. That's the way he puts it. That you will see here in the following verses. You will see how it comes out. Shuga Brahmarshi had no interest to talk about it. You can see that from the verses. He had no interest to talk about who is going to rule the country after this, who is going to rule the world after that. So many stories have been spoken, but today kings are not there anymore. It's all democracy everywhere, isn't it? We think we have found out the solution to the whole problem by finding this democratic process, which we think is the highest success in the world. and therefore, there's nowhere anymore this monarchy exists. Practically, it's gone away everywhere. And similarly, what Shuga Brahmarshi is saying is, just like Kshatriyas have disappeared from this world, Brahmanas have also disappeared from this world. Along with that, Brahmanas have also gone. Kshatriyas have already gone. And along with the same way, Brahmanas have also disappeared from this world. And practically what he is saying is that the whole administration and the society will be run by the labor force, workers. Oh. This is the glorious Kali Yuga. That is what Shuga Brahmarshi is saying here. Because anything, when it is decided based on majority, when majority makes a decision, majority is always labor, isn't it? Labor is always be the majority. And they will make the decision what they want. And first thing they say is, when they take over, the whole ethos will be how to squeeze out as much as possible from the public. As much as possible from the public. And that you can see, practically, you may call them by different party names. That's another thing. But the subtle body inside them is this. What Shuga Brahmarshi is saying here. He says, the only thing they will do is that they will continuously tax people for maintaining a huge administrative machinery, and for that purpose, they will go all the way out to suck as much as possible from the ordinary people. And that is how the administration will run. The kings never did that. Proper Kshatriya kings were never into that. They kept the taxation to the minimum, what was necessary, essential things. But and their own maintenance, they kept it separate. You can see like Shibi, Randideva and all that, those kings, they never used the taxation, taxed money from the public for their maintenance. That was their own family wealth or whatever. But the wealth that was taxed from the public were used for the administration, and that was kept to the minimum. But what Shukla Brahmarshi is saying here is that the immediate impact on the public will be that they will tax people heavily for one thing, one account or the other. You can see everywhere that's the same story, isn't it? Heavily burden. And then there's a lot of tax dodgers also. In that process you create them. And the clever ones, they know how to cook the books and how to do it in a clever way, and they get away with it. Poor man in the street who doesn't know how to do it, he gets into trouble. He gets into trouble. So that's, we are seeing that, all these things. Anyway, so basically he is reviewing this age of Kali, what it will be like here, what is going to happen in this age. And there is a loads of verses mentions in the Bhagavatam what is going to happen there. And primarily what you have to take notice of, few things, that the change that's happening into our way of thinking. First thing he says there, on a daily basis, religious principles, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercifulness, lifespan, and determination, and memory. All these things will continuously decrease in the society. Number one. Secondly, he says that in the world, people who have got money, they will be respected as the authority. What they do, because they got money, they'll be considered as a noble personalities, and what they do will be accepted as cultured behavior or civilized behavior, you can say. That's the way it will be. People who have got wealth, they will be considered as the role models for the society. Role models for the society. What they do, others will follow that. They like to become like that. And as far as religious principles are concerned and justice is concerned, if you are powerful, you can get your way through in this world. It won't be based on any other values. No morals, nothing. Simply based on your capacity to pay or capacity to exercise your authority here, you're powerful, then you can get what you want or practically get done here. There are a number of things he has spoken here. Then, in marriage, Shubramarshi says there, Dambatyam Abhirujir Hedu. Abhirujir Hedu. Then if a man gets attracted to women, and women get attracted to a man, that will be the basis of marriage. And invariably, in all transactions, there will be cheating. There will be no truthfulness in there. Then, men and women, they will consider successful if they are good in their sense enjoyment. If they are together able to engage in sense and gratification, that will be considered as a good thing in the society, if men and women are together able to enjoy their senses. And finally, he says, Vipratve Sutramevahi. Brahmana will be known only by the thread, what he has got. The thread will be the qualification for the Brahmana, nothing else, no other qualities. Then he says there that if you are able to talk your way through, just by talking, then you will be considered scholarly and knowledgeable person. Just then you know how to talk. Then, so, a person who is who has no wealth, he won't be taken seriously. who has no money. He won't be taken seriously. And the person who has got a lot of wealth and pride in him, he'll be accepted as a sadhu or a saintly person. And mutual acceptance between husband and wife or man and woman will be considered to be the basis for marriages. And keeping the hair very well combed and kept beautiful, hair will be taken very seriously in the Kali. You can see it's a huge industry running on that, isn't it? Hair was not such an important thing. It's just like anything else in the body. It's another thing. But hair has become such an important industry, isn't it? So, and similarly dressing very well, all clothes and things like that. That if you are dressed well and if your hair is all done very well, you are considered to be clean. Not from the point of view of Shastram. Then you will see all these verses one after the other in this 12th canto. But we will not waste a lot of time on this. We can't do anything about it. It's going to be like that. So it's only to give us some indication of the way things are going on. And he says there, if you look at the second chapter, I'm not reading the verses now because there are more important things in this 12th canto worthwhile knowing. Sri Shuka Vaja, Tadascha Divinam Dharmam Satyam Shaujam Kshama Deya Kalena Belina Rajan Nankshetya Ayurbalam Smriti Vittameva Kalodranam Janma Jara Guno Deya Dharmanyaya Vyavasthayam Karanam Belameva Hi Dambati Abhiruja Vihedu Mayeva Vyavaharike Stritve Pumsteja Hi Radir Vipratve Sutrameva Hi Lingamevashramakhyana Anyonyabhattikaranam Avrudamanyaya Dorbalyam Panditye Chabalam Vaja Anadideva Sadutve Sadutto Dambhayevadu Svigarameva Jodvahe Snanameva Prasadhanam Dure Varyenam Tirtham Lavanyam Keshadharanam Udaram Bharadaswartha Satyatve Dharshtamevahi Dakshyam Kudumbavaranam Yashorthe Dharmasevanam Evam Prajabhar Dushtabhirayirne Shidimandale Brahmavirshutshatra Shudranam Yobili Bhavidanava Prajahilubdhai Rajanye Nargane Dasyu Dharmavi Achinnanara Dravanayam Yasyandigiriganam Shagamulam Shatshaudram Phalabushpa Ashti Bhojanaha Anavrishtyavinakshanti Durbhikshayaravidida Shida Vadadava Pravanhimair Anyonyada Prajaha. So those 10 verses in the second chapter is an indication of what is going to come. Kshutrudbhyam vyadibhischaiva sandapsyandeja chindaya trisham dushadi varshani paramayu kalaundranam. So the impact on the people, that is what Shukla Brahmarshi is saying there. Impact on the people. He says there in the people will go and they will go want to bathe in some rivers or tanks which are far away from home. Going and bathing there will be considered to be considered to be the Tirtham. Tirtham means purification or holy rivers. Will be considered holy rivers or tanks which are far away from home. They won't go to the place where it's close by. They'll go somewhere else. And able to lie and cheat, that will be acceptable in the age of Kali. And growing hair will be considered to be a symptom of beauty. Symptom of beauty. That's one. Then what else he's saying? Shukla Brahmarshi says that a person will be considered to be very clever and will be recognized if he is maintaining a family. Running a family will be considered to be the greatest qualification. If you are running a family, you'll be considered, oh, he's a family man, and therefore he has to be, he'll be honored. And whatever charity he does, or engage in any kind of charity work, it'll be only for the sake of fame, name and fame, for that purpose. It'll be done. Then, powerful person will take control of the administration. And normally, they will become very greedy, and also, will practically their mentality will be to exploit others and to suck from them like dacoits do, but they'll do it in a very clever way. In a very clever way, they'll able to extract money from others. And because when it becomes unbearable, people will leave home, leave their work, and they will go away to the forest or somewhere else to find some shelter. When they can't bear it anymore, when the stage comes that they can't bear this anymore, from the government alone becomes, the government themselves become the biggest dacoits, then people will find it so hard to live that eventually they will leave everything and go away from the from the towns and villages. They will go and look for some livelihood elsewhere, and they will have to eat the fruits and hunting animals, and they'll have to live in the forest to maintain their body, which is at a later date in the Kali Yuga. What else? The seasons will change in such a way that sometimes not sufficient rain, sometimes excessive rain, and due to that, as well as the bad times, and also due to the exploitation of the administrators, people will mutually fight each other, and they will finally leave this world in a very disturbed state. Then, due to vyadhi and adhi means that affects their mind, vyadhi means that affects the illnesses that comes to the body, due to these two things, our lifespan will come down. Bodies will become smaller. The gross body will become smaller. And because Varnashrama Dharmam has completely gone away from the world, therefore everyone will look for ways how to work the systems and how to make as much money as possible by cheating, lying, or whichever low activities, low class activities, they will do. All the ordinary people will take to such processes in life. Practically, Sukha Brahmarshi says, everyone will be like a Shudra. Cows will become like goats. And man will think all his in-laws from the wife side is his close relatives. He won't care for his own parents or brothers and sisters. Instead, in-laws, husband, in order to please the wife, will take all the wife's relations, in-laws, as his best advisors in life. Instead of keeping his brothers and sisters, that relationship will break, and rather he will go become completely enamored by the material energy in that way. Plants and the trees will become smaller, and clouds won't pour the rain sufficiently, they'll become dry, but there'll be more thunder and lightning. And practically in homes, there won't be any more reception for the guests. Guests won't be invited, and they will not be received properly in the house. When all these things happen, that is, these are all the end of the Kali Yuga. By then it all happens. Krishna appears in the form of Kalki. That is the last incarnation, isn't it? So, he will appear in the house of Vishnu Yashasa, a Brahmana's house, and in the village called Shambhala Gramam, and he will get on with the on the horse called Devadatta, and with the sword he will travel around and kill all the administrators at that time, and many, many millions of people in the Kali Yuga will face disaster at that time. So these things, where did they all come from? This came from Bhavishya Purana. In this 12th canto, there are two Puranams seriously spoken. One is Bhavishya Purana. Bhavishya Purana means that Puranam which talks about the future. And then there is Markandeya Puranam, talking about the story of Markandeya, which will come later on. So, that is that's what it is here. That after the end of Kali Yuga, when Krishna had decided to kill all these administrators who are in that kind of people, at that time, though after those who are killed, remaining people, they will get purified by the by Krishna's presence here in the form of Kalki, and people will become again, they will come back to the pure state which was in the Satyayuga. And in that time, Satyugam will begin. And when Satyugam begins, at that time, there are two personalities who are performing penances in the Himalayas. Maru and Devapi. You will see them in the ninth canto mentioned. Devapi is from the lunar dynasty, Maru from the solar dynasty. These two personalities, they were removed from the position by the politics of that time. And they both left, but Krishna decided that they should have some purpose. So what Krishna has done, he has taken them and put them in the Himalayas to perform penances. They are living there even today, performing the penances. And they will come back in Satyugam again. And at that time, these two dynasties will begin again. Solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty. They will come back again. So, all these things are spoken. And there is also another interesting thing there. That at the end of Kaliyugam, our subtle body will be a lot more purer than now. And that is when Satyugam will begin. And this Devapi I mentioned, he is this brother of Shantanu. If you leave the ninth canto, you will see what happened there. That an Ikshvaku dynasty is Maru. And they will establish Varnashrama Dharmam again here. We don't have to establish, they will do it. We won't be able to do it. It has to be done by those people who have been authorized to do that. Only they can do that. We are thinking so many things we can do, isn't it? But Krishna is saying there that proper Varnashrama Dharma will be established again by them, this Devapi and Maru, when they come back. And they will operate at that time. And many people accept that Devapi and Maru are still performing penances in the Himalayas. So, he says to Parikshit that the even highly qualified kings, they are also like the bubbles in the water. Even they get affected by the vasanas in the body, and they want to kill each other, fight each other, and win the kingdoms. You will see this in this 12th canto. There's something important. They are not able to see that death is waiting for them also, who the kings. They also will operate in such a way in this world that they get affected by the vasanas inside, or their impressions inside, that they get affected by that. Because if you look into the history, you will see. Remember that the kings are glorified in the Bhagavatam a lot. Is it not? Whole of ninth canto you will see. And in so many other places also. Examples are shown by the great kings. What was their greatness? Greatness was this. Today we say, as we mentioned last time also, we have haves and have-nots. Is it not? We have haves and have-nots. These two are fighting each other in this world. But there is a third group who had everything, but who threw away everything and walked out into the forest. It is their story that is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Haves and have-nots is not an issue in the Bhagavatam. That is for our modern history and the modern society. We discuss this all the time. So haves and have-nots is not an issue for Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam talks about this third category who had everything, but they threw away everything and walked into the forest. For what? To realize the self. That's their glory. That you don't find many times in the history, do you? All the monarchy, if you look, what do? They'll hold on to it till the last minute. Everywhere. Same story. Ultimately, when they feel that they can't do anything or completely helpless, then they will pass it on, the rod, to the next person. Or sometimes somebody is waiting there to get in there to the seat, isn't it? So normally what they'll do, they will lock them up, the kings. They have to be always watchful about the successor. whether it is son or grandson, doesn't matter. They'll only be always keep an eye. They'll have their own network of finding out who is going to take over. And this you will see throughout the world, this happening. That the successor who loses his patience at the end, because he's also getting old, he can't wait anymore. And he decides one day that this is, I'm going to take over now. And this is the monarchy system. So that may happen. But here we are talking about in the Bhagavatam, those kings who didn't do that. What they did was, at the right time, they walked away from this world. Walked out from here and went to the forest, engaged in spiritual life, realized the self and left this world. Their history is spoken in the Bhagavatam. And so, but there is one interesting thing, that while talking about all these kings in the Bhagavatam, Mother Earth is saying, Bhumi Devi, she is saying there, that these kings also, look at them, he says, that they want to control me. They want to control me. And in that process, mutually they hate each other. And then they fight each other and then they die and go from here. They die and go. So, so, but not to get attracted by this. Shukra Brahmarshi says here that don't think that all these stories what I have said to you about all these kings is all true. They are not. That's how he concludes Bhagavatam. Katha imam ste kaditam mahiyasam vidaya lokeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudur nadu paramathyam. This is such famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Shukra Brahmarshi says to Parikshit that katha imam ste kadita mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham, that these stories what I have spoken, so many stories about so many kings, because Bhagavatam is full of stories of the different dynasties and their kings, isn't it? That among them, some of them who are intelligent, how they escape from here, and I have only spoken them in a way in order to create bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam. Jnana vairagyam in a person. In order to create knowledge and renunciation in a person, I have spoken them, but in reality they have no meaning. Because as far as Shukra Brahmarshi is concerned, all these kingdoms, dynasties and all that doesn't make any sense to him. For him, our so-called administration and our democracy or our monarchy or all these things has no meaning to him. Because as far as he is concerned, the world itself is not there. That's his state. You have to see from which state he is talking all these things to us. He is saying the world has no reality. There's no existence. It is another product of Maya. And in Maya, what is real and what is not real? What is real here? So, a person who has gone to that level, he can only see things in that way. He can't give importance to what we give importance. Is it not? We give importance to all, we study history. Very seriously we study history, thinking that all this is so real, isn't it? What do they say to us? History itself is a lie. That's the first thing to understand. When we come to Krishna consciousness, first thing to understand is history is nothing but a lie. It has no meaning. It's all past that has come and gone, come and gone. So many kings have come and gone. And people ask this question to Prabhupada, also mentioned this one day while walking in Paris. He raised this issue, talked about this. He said that French are very popular about Napoleon, isn't it? Napoleon was a famous king there. So he said, Napoleon is gone, France is still lying there. You will see in the conversation. So the principle is this, that so many have come and gone, and come and gone from this world. World is still lying here, they have come and gone. And we are studying their history, they have come and gone. Very seriously we study them, thinking that we have something to learn from them. There's nothing to learn. The only thing we have to learn, that what Bhumi Devi is saying here, Bhumi Devi is saying, the great personalities who had come here, like them, Prithu, Pururavas, Nahusha, Bharata, Mandhadav, Sagara, Yayadi, Shariyadi, Shantanu, Bhagirada, Hiranyakashipu, Vritrasura, Shambhara, Hiranyaksha, Taraka, and many, many others like this. All famous personalities. They have all come. They have danced on my chest, Bhumidevi says. They were dancing on my chest, and where have they gone now? So, Shuka Brahmarshi, Sukadeva Goswami is saying to us that don't take all these things very seriously. Because when it comes to self-realization, all this history has no meaning either. Is it not? That's what he's saying here. That is what that verse is talking about. If you look into the 12th canto, in the 3rd chapter, 14th verse. After talking about all these kings and their rules and their administration and their dealings, everything, finally he's saying none of them is real, he says. That's the way he puts it. Katha imamste katita mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yashapare yusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vipo vajo vibodhirnaduparavarthyam. None of them is true, he says. Why it's not true? Because from the point of view of this spiritual plane, all these things are false. These kings and their administration and their rule and all other things are vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. So that from them we learn this lesson of knowledge and renunciation. For that purpose only I have spoken that. To create knowledge and renunciation in you, I have spoken that. Sri Brahmarshi says to these two, and they are not true, he said. None of them is true. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudirnadu paramarthyam. Remember, after studying whole of Bhagavatam, you have studied from creation onwards, from the 3rd canto, sargam, visargam, sthanam, poshanam. You are going after dynasty, isn't it? It is the problem. In spiritual life, this is the difficulty. When we get caught up in this world, we can't think independently from that. So therefore, they will always begin like this. They will tell us so many things which are actually not any reality, but they will get us absorbed in that, and finally they will prove to us that it's all false. That's the way spiritual life is. That they have to do that because there's no other way. Our mind is caught up in this, so we have to start from somewhere where we are at. So they have to start everything from where we are at. And then step by step, they have to make us aware and create that vijnana vairagyam inside, and then finally tell us, vajo vibhudirnadu paramarthyam. Nothing is reality here. Nothing is reality here. These are temporary things from the absolute platform. From the spiritual platform, they have not much of a significance. That is what this verse is talking about. Katha imamste katita mahiyasam vitaya logeshu yashapareyusham. And it has put in such a way, in such a subtle way, that you may start wondering all these times, 7 days, Parikshit Krishna, Shuka Brahmarshi was talking about this dynasty, that dynasty, and glorifying different kings in that process. So many, isn't it? This king, his son is this king, his son is this king, his son is this king. And you'd be amazed by Shuka Brahmarshi's memory. The number of names he has mentioned there. We are struggling to remember even a few names here and there. But the way he has spoken, one after the other, and he has got everything so clearly marked in every king, how many wives he had, in each wife how many children he had, all their names. He is able to list all of them. And if you look at the whole names in all these, something like 30,000-40,000 names comes in all together. You know, so many names and so many under different titles. So, important thing is that why Krishna is saying this, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying at this point is that none of them is real, he's saying. Vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. They are not paramarthyam. It is nothing but a vibhudi. It is nothing but a vibhudi. And because this particular verse is important, because only to create knowledge and renunciation in us that it was spoken, he says there. But in reality they are not true. They are not true. This verse is very useful because the things what spoken in the Bhagavadam, many, many things what spoken in the Bhagavadam, is spoken primarily with this intention, to create renunciation and detachment, first inside. Because if you look at it and start analyzing like stories, and trying to understand where it happened. Normally our mind goes in that way, isn't it? We want to find out, when did this happen? Where did it happen? How did it happen? All this kind. When, where and how won't work with Bhagavatam. It will not get you anywhere. Because you will see many things in the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken in such a way that what is necessary for spiritual advancement, you have to take that and leave the remaining portions. If you start like a research person and try to evaluate everything, what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, you will end up sometimes very in a difficult situation. And the same thing Ramchandra has also done. In the Yoga Vasishtam, if you look, you will see it's the same process they have followed there also. That there, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, Vasishtha instructs Ramachandra, that is Yoga Vasishtam. There he says here, Ramachandra, that whatever I have given you examples and everything, they are not real. They have been created to explain to you the truth, to explain to you the truth. You know, you have to learn how to separate that out from the flowery language, what's been spoken. Vasishtha says this to Ramachandra, in the same way like Krishna spoken to Uddhava. Krishna spoke about it in the same way, isn't it? What did Krishna say? Krishna says there that in the 28th chapter, Kimbadram kimabadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal vajoditam tad amrutam manaso dhyatam evacha, he says. What is the truth in all these things? There is no truth in any of these things. So, Krishna is saying that from that spiritual position, as from the realized state, he is saying this to us. But if that was spoken in the beginning, we would have got a little bit confused. But after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you will come to understand at the end what Krishna is saying makes sense. All this doesn't make any... it's not real. None of them is real. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal. It's all dvaidam. And it is avastu. It means it has no reality. Vajodidam tad anardam manaso dhyadam evaja. Whatever that's been spoken through the words is lie, and which has been created by the mind, because mind itself is a lie. Mind itself has no reality. What to talk about that comes from the mind. The first thing Krishna establishes about the mind is, it's not a real thing. It's a force that happens due to the presence of the vasanas inside, and it's a special force that comes from the chit shakti. In the liberated state, that mind disappears. Mind has no influence anymore. So, that is what... So, Ramachandra did the same thing in the Yoga Vasishtam, and here, Krishna has spoken the same thing in the Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava, and now Shukla Brahmarshi is also following the same route. Also following the same route. So, then there is the description about the in the four yugam, Satyugam, Tridayugam, or Kridayugam, Tridayugam, Dwabaram, Kali, the four yugam, what happens in there, in Krishna mentions, in the Shukla Brahmarshi says there, in the Kridayugam, truthfulness, mercifulness, austerities and charity, they will be there, and all these four things. And in that period, time, general class of people will be satisfied, not disturbed, always satisfied. They'll be merciful and they'll be peaceful inside, shanti. They'll have control on the senses, and they'll have a lot of tolerance in them, and they'll be by and large conscious of the self, who they are, Atmarama stage, and they will have equal vision towards others. Atmaramatum samadarshitam. And then all these qualities of the Bhagavata Dharma, Satyam, Daya, Tapasya, Dhanam, these things will be present in the Satyugam. When it comes to Tridayugam, it's all in these first few chapters. Little by little, these things will disappear in the Tridayugam, and people will become little bit unhappiness, will develop. And therefore, little bit of asatyam, that means slipping away from truthfulness, violence, himsa will become develop, quarreling nature, this will also happen at that time. And therefore, one quarter of the good qualities will start disappearing. And the brahmanas also will start losing their strength. And they will be more interested in the in their material well-being to some extent. Generally, Satyugam brahmanas were not interested in the material well-being. And therefore, more into karma. They will start taking to karma more. And himsa means violence won't be there in them. And cheating nature also, propensity also won't be there in them. But they will have an interest in dharmam, artham, kamam. These three things. More into religious principles, economic development to some extent, and fulfilling desires. This will slowly start taking control in their life. But they will be still experts in the Vedic way of life. In the Vedic way of life. Then when it comes to Dwaparayugam, the third one, it's almost by now 50% has gone. The good qualities have gone. Mainly it's all referring to the Brahmana and Kshatriya. Mostly it is spoken with reference to them. Not reference to the Vaishyas and the Shudras. So in Dwaparam, these things will start becoming more prominent. Which one? Truthfulness will go away, 50%. And hate and anger and things like that will develop. And therefore charity, mercifulness, all these things will disappear. And the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas in their in those days, particularly talking about the Dwaparayugam, he says, to some extent, they will be looking for fame. Looking for fame. And at the same time, they will be interested in studying Shastram. And they will also be interested in acquiring wealth. And they will become very interested in maintaining larger families. All these are coming into the Dwaparayugam. And finally in Kaliyugam, because of the influence of the Adharma, by now 75% is gone. It's only 25% of all these good qualities remain. And therefore, that will also will start disappearing one after the other. And majority of the people will have the qualities of the Shudra. So why they are saying like that is, you can yourself watch this. In the Shastram, they will tell you, when you meet a Brahmana, what you should ask him. When you meet a Kshatriya, what you should ask. When you meet a Vaishya, what you should ask. When you meet a Shudra, what you have to ask. When you see a Brahmana, you don't inquire from him about his physical health. That is not advised. Because he is not living for the sake of the body. He is living for self-realization. He is supposed to be living for self-realization. So, for self-realization, what is required is shanti inside, peace. Krishna says that, isn't it? 10 times he has mentioned shanti in the Bhagavad Gita. You will notice in the Bhagavad Gita, in 10 different places, shanti, 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 he keeps saying. So, for self-realization, what is required is shanti. So, to a Brahmana, one should ask whether he has enough shanti to execute his spiritual life. That's the question to ask a Brahmana, according to the Shastra. A Kshatriya, what should one ask? To a Kshatriya, one should ask, is everything under control? Because he is supposed to be in control of the situation, isn't it? That means administration is happy with the administration, what is happening. With the administration, is he happy with the administration? And is he happy with the way things are run in this world? Is based on dharmam. Dharmam is important there. For Kshatriya, dharmam is important. He believes in that. That means his life has to... He becomes happy when there is dharmam in this world. Kshatriya becomes happy when there is dharmam in this world. So, with a Kshatriya, you don't again inquire about his body. Are you feeling good? Kshatriya doesn't care for the body. That is how their nature, isn't it? By nature, they fight the battles. And in the battlefield, if you are concerned about your body, if you are getting hurt or a pain here or pain there, you can't fight. Can you? How can you fight if you have that kind of thinking? So, Kshatriyas, you should never ask about the body either. Then to the Vaishyas, you have to ask, is he making enough money? Is he able to satisfy all the needs? Because that's his job, isn't it? To provide for the society wealth what is necessary. That is the duty of a Vaishya. So when we ask a Vaishya about his welfare, the way to ask is he doing well to provide for everything what he is meant to provide as a Vaishya? And finally, only to a Shudra you ask, how is your health? Because for a Shudra is a body, everything. It's based on the body and the bodily services that you are living in this world, is it not? Shudra's existence is very much in the identification with the body. So with so nowadays we ask everybody, each other, isn't it, about the health. That's the only thing we talk to each other. And that is the indication that we have all become that category. Fourth class category we have come to. And that's where we are today. Nobody is talking in terms of self-realization or spiritual life or shanti or Kshatriya nature. Nothing is there anymore. It becomes acceptable like that. Everyone does the same thing again and again. So, therefore, here we are. What we are seeing now is that the influence of Kali, how it has entered the brain, and our way of thinking has changed, and we interact with people in the same way. So, therefore, while talking about this, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, that these three, four different yugas, how does this change happen? It's not based on the time factor, what is mentioned, although there is a time factor given in the Bhagavatam. Mainly, it is due to the adjustment of the modes of nature. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, it is their presence, the modes of nature, that is what alters all these things. For example, when Sattvagunam is prominent, you will see that first quality of Shanti will be there. When Rajogunam is prominent, you will see this Kshatriya nature present there. And Rajogunam and Tamogunam is present together in dominating it, then Vaishya nature will develop. And when Tamogunam dominates the scene, Shudra nature will develop. This is how it is. So these three modes of nature, they keep changing, they balances the whole thing, and they create Kaliyugam, Tredayugam, Dwaparayugam, Kaliyugam. It is these modes of nature that creates this four yugam. That's the reason behind it. The modes of nature decides what state we will be in. That is why sometimes you will see that even in the Tredayugam there could be a Satyugam there. Similarly, sometimes in the Dwaparayugam there could be a Satyugam, a certain period in time, depending on the modes of nature. Modes of nature changes everything. So, that is another important thing Krishna mentions in that. He says there. And then another topic that is discussed in this 12th canto is the devastations. Four kinds of devastations. Nityam, Naimityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam. Four kinds of devastations it develops. What happens? You know, there is a lot of things where we imagine some things in our head. And we think in that way because our, difficulty in us understanding the Rishi's language. Yeah, Rishi's language. And you will see this example in the Bhagavatam throughout. And, for example, just to give you one or two things, we say that this whole earthly planet is like a mustard seed. And Lord Balaram's one of the hoods is supporting that. Have you read that in the Bhagavatam? It mentions it. So, when you read that, obviously you start imagining. And you start thinking that Balaram is supporting all these universes, isn't it? According to the Bhagavadam, Balarama is supporting all the universes. And this earthly planet is just like a mustard seed in one of the hoods, it says there. So we start thinking, how many hoods has he got? And how could he fit in this earthly planet in one of the hoods? So what could be the size of the hoods then? So our mind will go like that. These are things spoken in the Bhagavadam to present certain tattvam behind that. And that won't be spoken. You have to inquire that. Why? Because first of all, through katha, it will present it to you in some particular form. Later on, when you understand the tattvam behind it, then you start appreciating these examples, what they have used to say this to us. Because when somebody says to you like that, that something unbelievable thing, that Balaram is holding this earthly planet like a mustard seed. So you can start imagining in your mind how big that hood must be then. And he has got 1,000 hoods, isn't it? According to the 1,000 hoods. So 1,000 hoods, one hood, on top of that this earthly planet is like a mustard seed, says Bhagavad. So when you start inquiring this, that is where Bhagavadam, to understand Bhagavadam, you need the help of the other literature. Bhagavadam is introducing us to the spiritual world, basically. That's what Bhagavadam is doing. It's introducing us to the spiritual world, but it's for us to do the investigation further, according to your jinyasa. Jinyasa means that inquisitiveness inside. And only if you are very serious about it, you can go further. Otherwise you won't. You will just think, oh, these are all some stories, and you will leave it there. You may believe or you may not believe it. Because that's what happens all the time. Remember, I mentioned this so many times before. We are people who believe what we see is the only truth. Or what we hear is the only truth. And this is our biggest problem. With this background, you can imagine, if you study Bhagavadam, you will not be able to accept anything in the Bhagavadam. You will reject almost 50-60% of the Bhagavadam straight away. With this vision, that only what I see is the truth, only what I hear is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. We have to come out of that handicap. It's a problem. In spiritual life, you can't take that approach, because spiritual life reveals to us that there is a higher truth beyond this. And that higher truth, as you get an understanding of that from the Upanishads, from the Bhagavadam, from Brahma Sutram and all that, then you can appreciate how the Rishis thought about these things. Their way of thinking is different. Not the way we are thinking. They didn't have this problem what we have got today. Do you know what I mean? They didn't have this problem what we have got today. Our problem is this, and this is a big problem. What we see and what we hear is the only truth. Rishis, because they didn't have this problem, they were more free and independent to think in a much deeper level. That is why many of the revelations in the Vedam, what the Rishis have given to us, it's coming from their realization. They have seen, like you saw in the fifth canto, when Shuga Brahma Rishi is sitting there and telling to Parikshit, starting from Ilavrata Varsham, where Lord Shiva is worshipping Sankarshanamurti, Lord Balaram there, Ilavrata Varsham. And what he is saying there is, different places what he is seeing. And we have to accept this. We have no other choice here. Unless we come out of these three states of vacant state, dream state and deep sleep. In these three states, you can only see what you see with your eyes. You can only hear what you hear with your ears. Completely dependent on the senses. Rishis will never accept if you speak in terms of senses and knowledge through the senses. It has no meaning to them. Because they have gone beyond the senses. That is the difference. So we have a big obstacle there. And we are trying to understand the Shastram through our senses. And that's why this problem is coming, because of that. And so, if you look into the fifth canto, you will see Ilavrata Varsham, Ketumala, Bhadrasya Varsham, Hayu Varsham, and different places in Jambudhimam, in the creation what he is talking about. Everywhere, who is worshipped by whom? That is what Shukra Brahmarshi is talking to us. He is saying, in these places, These personalities are worshipped by these devotees. And the mantram that is related to that and their prayers. You can see that in the fifth canto. That's all thing what he wants to talk about. He doesn't want to say anything else. Because as far as he is concerned, Krishna and Krishna's creation is not different. Krishna's creation is Krishna itself. And here what is important is how Krishna is worshipped by whom. That is more important to him. Not that which river is flowing where, or which mountain is present there, who climbed which peak, or who went to Antarctic or Arctic. All this is no meaning to them. It makes no sense to them. As far as they are concerned, because this creation has come from Krishna, how Krishna is present in this creation, in what form, where, and who worships them, worships Krishna's different expansions, Ramachandra, Narasimhamurti, Shiva. They are all expansions of Krishna, isn't it? And they are worshipped in different places by great, great devotees. And what their prayers are, that's all what is spoken in the fifth canto. If you read it, you will notice this big change. And you would have thought, oh, if you are talking about Ilavaga Varsham, or Hari Varsham, or Kedamala Varsham, why does Sukadeva Goswami talk about all the mountains and the rivers that's flowing there? And why doesn't he say about, give us a complete history like the tourist board gives the whole details of everything what goes on? Why doesn't he do that? You may ask that question, would you not? But you don't see that there. Why is that? Reason is this. As far as Shiva Brahmarshi is concerned, the only reality is Krishna, nothing else. And Krishna's presence, wherever Krishna is present, wherever he is worshipped, whatever form by whoever devotee, that's all he wants to talk about. Everything else, as far as he is concerned, has no meaning. Has no meaning. Like he says in the Bhagavatam. Katha idamste kadidam mahiyasam vidaya logesho yashapareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhodir naduparamarthyam. Naduparamarthyam. None of this is true, he is saying. Naduparamarthyam. Nothing is true in these things. In these things. So, this is another important thing in this 12th canto. 12th canto. So here, there are so many things in this. Like for example, there is Sangyam spoken in this canto. And in a general way, in a very general way, he will also talk about the different kind of devastations. But everything centered around one thing, self-realization. Why is it? Because out of the four kinds of devastation, Nityam, Prakritam, Nityam, Naimithiyam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam. Four kinds of devastation is spoken in that. If you look at the last one, Atyandiyam. Atyandiyam means the final devastation means what? Final devastation is nothing but self-realization. If you have realized the self, then you know that this so-called devastation and all has no meaning. That is the Atyandika Pralayam. But if you look at the verses as it is spoken there and read the translation, you will see what will happen at the time of final devastations. Final devastations, the fire from the Sangharshamurti's face will come and everything will be burned into ashes and all that. So many things are spoken there from the external point of view. But from the Shastram, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there, final devastation means that once for all, you have got freed from this cycle of birth and death. And you have come back to your original state of identity as soul, Brahmam, Brahmam realization. When that realization happens, you can understand that this has no meaning. Because you remember what he said to Parikshit? That is the most interesting thing. In the beginning of Bhagavadam and the end of Bhagavadam, it is in two different levels spoken. Like in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is also like that. In the beginning, in one level it's spoken. In the end, it is in a different level. In the beginning, all this creation, secondary creation, and Sthanam, Poshanam, Udim, Anandaram, Ishanikatha, all the different dynasties, their history. And finally, he is saying to Parikshit, all this is lie, all this is false, all this is no meaning, he says. That is because Parikshit is now ready to understand that. He is come to that stage that he was able to say this to him. And so therefore he says here that Prakritam means that when Brahma's, there is a lot of things to think through this. We talk about Brahma's birth, isn't it? We say, from Vishnu's navel, a lotus flower has come. A lotus flower has come. And in that lotus flower, Brahma sits there. Now, people will ask this question. You have to be prepared for all these questions. Otherwise, you won't be able to talk about it. Lotus flower, where do you find normally? In the water tanks, isn't it? Or rivers. But where the stem comes, there is always dirty water. It is from dirty water that the stem comes, and that is where the lotus flower comes. Does that mean where the navel of Vishnu is dirty there? He doesn't take bath or anything. Vishnu doesn't bathe. Is what it means that it is so dirty there that the lotus flower can stay only in situations where the place is dirty. It is in dirt that the, in mud, for example, you go to any tank and you look at it, you will see there the lotus flower comes from a dirty place. Right? It's muddy, it is, very muddy. And that's where the lotus flower comes. And Brahma is sitting there in that. Why is it all spoken like this? These are the things to understand, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have taken from Puranams certain ways of presenting things, but always connecting it up with the truth in such a way that who is Brahma? Ultimately, it is Krishna himself. He sat there in the form of Brahma. Then who gave the knowledge to Brahma to create? Krishna gave the knowledge to create, isn't it? Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, three things. That means the desire to create, the knowledge to create, and the material required for creation purpose, also Krishna gave that to Brahma. So, the power to create, and the knowledge to create, and the necessary materials required, Drivyam, to create, all was given by Krishna. And who is Brahma? Krishna himself. Krishna himself. So, who has done the creation actually? Krishna has done the creation himself. Although you may say that Brahma created. That is why when Narada Maharshi asked to Brahma, that in the second canto you will see there, that the second canto, second part of second canto, and the first part of third canto is very, very difficult to understand in the Bhagavad. Mainly because it is Vedantam spoken in a language of Puranam. That is why it is. Vedantam spoken in the language of Puranam. That is why it is so difficult, and that has been deliberately done in that way, in the third canto, second part of second canto, and the first part of third canto. First 12, 13 chapters of the third canto. You would make any, it's very difficult to properly understand that canto, third canto, particularly the first half. And similarly the second half of the second canto also. So, there you will find these questions coming up. That when you start thinking about all these things, only then the problems comes. But if you accept it like a katha, there is no problem. Everything is resolved. All problems resolved. The point is this, that the Brahma's creation is, when Sri Narada Maharshi asked, Brahma says, I didn't create anything, he says. We all say, Brahma created. Brahma saying, I didn't create anything. What did Brahma say? Brahma says that Krishna created it through me. Used me for creation. That's the way Brahma replies. Brahma says to Narada Maharshi, Krishna created it through me. He used my body to create this. That's the way Brahma puts it. I didn't create it. Why is that? Brahma wants to point out to us in the very first instance itself. If you start thinking you are the doer here, aham, that awareness, if it builds up, you are going to be in trouble. Nobody is doer here. Everything Krishna is doing here. Everything Krishna is doing. Brahma himself recognizes this before all of us. And what else did he say? He said that whenever I have a problem, I remember him. I think about Krishna. And he comes and guides me through what I have to do. That is what you find throughout the process of creation. In the third canto, he will mention this very clearly to Narada Maharshi. Whenever I have problems, I first think about Krishna because he is doing it, I am not doing it. For all of us, what the problem is, we took it upon ourselves as we are the doers. So that's the first thing to get rid of from inside, that we are the doers. So to make that principle clear to us, they have brought all the story of Brahma's creation and Brahma's different levels of living entities, what he has created. But Brahma himself is saying to us, I didn't create anything. I created nothing, he says. Everything Krishna has created. And always he is looking there, to the top, for guidance from there. That is Brahma's position. So, all these things will come to the in this Brahma's lifespan, for example. Brahma has got a very, very long lifespan compared to us. Is it not? So, there what happens is Mahatattvam, Ahangaram, Ahamtattvam, Panchadan Matra. Again, another thing. Now, when we talk about Ahamtattvam, Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam, this is where you have to connect these two things. One side the Vedantam, the other side all the personalities what we are coming across in the Bhagavatam. Simply if you fall into the personalities and thinking that, oh, these are all very far out stories, isn't it, in the Bhagavatam. And you start thinking and spend all your time in that way, you won't get to the principle what Shastram is trying to point out to us. Aham Tattvam means Ahangaram. That's Aham Tattvam. This Mahatattvam comes Aham Tattvam, isn't it? From Mahatattvam comes Aham Tattvam in the creation process. And it is that Ahamtattvam which breaks into three, Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Satyahangaram, Rajasahangaram, Tamasahangaram. From Satyahangaram came the mind, Rajasahangaram comes the senses, Tamasahangaram comes the material elements. That we have seen in the third canto. So, when they go back, they have to go back, isn't it, from the way they have come out, they also have to go back. So, the Tanmatras call Shabdasparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham. You know, the sound, finer elements. We have the gross form, earth, water, air, ether, fire, and their finer forms. That's called Tanmatra. Their finer, sushma form. Stuvilam is the earth, water, air, ether, fire. That's a gross form. The subtle form of that is what we call as the Tanmatra, or is this the sushma form, which is their qualities like Shabdam, sound, Sparsham, touch, Rupam, form, Rasam is taste and Gandham smell. These five things are the tanmatras of these five material elements. So when they go back, all of them will go and dissolve itself. By the way, they have come out in the same way. The tanmatras, false ego, Ahangaram and Mahatattvam. When Brahma's life over, they all go back and dissolves itself into the truth from where it has come, from Amtattvam. And that is what they call it as Prakrita Pralayam. After the four kinds of devastations. And they go into the what is called Mula Prakriti. Mula Prakriti means the origin of the Prakriti. So, those things are also discussed in this canto. This particular canto, 12th canto, is in a sort of way, certain things are very subtle and certain things they spoken very gross level also. In a gross way, it is spoken. In the sense that when he talks about the devastation, a lot of things are spoken on a gross level about the fire that builds up, the devastation that happens due to the flooding of the universe and things like that. But on the other side, it's also spoken from the spiritual side how it is important. So, Buddhir Jagaranam Sopnam Sushuttiridhi Chochyade Maya Matravidam Rajan Nanatvam Pratyagalmani. Another statement from Shubramashi. He says to Parikshit, my dear king, he says, Buddhir Jagaranam Sopnam Sushutti Iti Chochyade. These three things, what you are experiencing, all these things. Which one? This world, and these history what you are studying and you are analyzing all the time, it's all it's in your intelligence. It's a state of your intelligence, buddhi. Buddhi is avastha. Sushupti riti chochyate maya matram idam rajan nanatvam pratyagatmani. And because there is these three states existing, which one? Actually, all these verses, you need to put a lot of time into it to understand it. What is the underlying truth behind it? Rishis won't talk to you freely like that, everything. They will put in their own way, their own language. And Sridharajari Swamiji and many other rishis, many other commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have, according to their own understanding, they have brought out a lot of things from this to explain to us why Sridhara Swami's commentary is glorified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the only commentary I will accept is Sridhara Swami's commentary. Is it not? Why did he say that? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found that Sridhara Swami's commentary, which was written way before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, he was able to bring that Vedantic truth from the Bhagavatam in the light of the different glorifications and also the prayers, instructions, and again the stories. These are the three things there. First you have got the glorification, stuti. And then there is upadesham, which is direct instructions. And then they have got the katha, the stories behind it. All bringing these three things together is not an easy thing. It's not a very easy thing. It's a very difficult job. In the sense that unless you have such a vast knowledge, depth of understanding of the Vedic literature, you couldn't do it. It's not possible. But Sridhara Swami succeeded in doing that to a large extent. And that is why people, everyone, accept Sridhara Swami's commentary above everyone else. No other commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam will get the recognition of Sridhara Swami's commentary. And because Sridhara Swami's commentary is so recognized, even those who have come afterwards, like you can see Vishwanatha Chakravarti, Sanatana Goswami, and Veera Raghavacharya, and Vallabhacharya, Subhodini, and there are many others who have commented, Madhusudana Saraswati, Shugabhakshiyam, and then there is also, there's a list of 14 of these commentators. When they all start their commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, they first offer their respects to Sridhara Swami, Sridharajari Swamiji, because the way Sridharajari Swamiji has succeeded in bringing that spiritual truth from Bhagavatam by combining these three, glorifications, instructions, and the stories there. Shrute enarthena chanjasa, in the Bhagavatam it says like that. Shruti is Vedam, Upanishad's knowledge. And that is what is coming through the prayers. In the glorifications, you will see Devaki's prayers, Vasudeva's prayers. What to talk about Devaki's prayers and Vasudeva's prayers? Leave them. They are at least, they are Krishna's parents. Have you read in the third canto, when we were in the womb, we all of us, when we were in the womb of the mother, when we came out from the womb, we started crying. First thing, what did we do? We cried, isn't it? And there is a prayer in the Bhagavatam in the third canto. It is called Jandu Studi. We are called Jandu at that time. We just got a body and we have come out to this world. And therefore, we are called Jandu. Jandu means what? We have no samskaram. No samskaram inside. We have got a body, that's all. Like an animal has got a body, we have got a body. We have come out from the womb. And after coming out, there is a praise from the Jandu to Krishna, lasting 20-30 verses. And if you study those verses, you will see there, why a Jandu has to pray like this? We can't remember now anything what happened when we came out of the womb. But what was happening inside us, the rishis knew this. And they are saying to us that we have got proof that the Jandu has prayed like this. Why? Inside the womb, Krishna brings back to us all our samskaram from several lifetimes. At least 100 lifetimes, Krishna puts it in front of us. What we have done in our previous lifetimes. in the human body and in several other bodies, whatever bodies we have gone through. The past 100 lifetimes, Krishna presents it to us inside the womb when we are lying there. That's what Krishna does to us. And when we see that, we say to Krishna, don't send me out again into this world. I don't want to go out, because what has happened every time was, whenever we left the womb and came out, we suddenly got attracted to Maya and we didn't want to, we completely forgotten about Krishna. We completely forgotten about, this has happened so many times before. So many times we have done this, that inside the womb, Krishna has shown to us what we have done in our previous lifetimes, what we were, what we did. And the kind of things what we have done ourselves, when Krishna says that to us, we get a very, very strong reminder that I can't do this anymore. I had enough of this. I don't want to go to this world anymore, because if I go out, I'll forget Krishna and do things what I like the way we do things. So therefore, I prayed to Krishna at that time, please don't send me there anymore. Please don't send me. Because the moment you come out, that is when Maya takes over. Maya takes control at that time. Up to that time, Maya has no control on us. In that sense, that we are very much conscious of who we are and what is going to happen, to what we have done in the past. So, looking back into all that, we feel very disturbed over that. And that is the reason, when we come out of the womb, we cry first. This is the reason for that crying. And what do? If we cry, we are happy. We are happy if the child cries. But the reason for the crying is this. That when we left that, inside the womb, when the knowledge was there, suddenly that knowledge is taken out, and whole avidya comes back inside. And when that avidya comes back and the knowledge goes away, you are crying. And that is that cry of the baby when the baby comes out of the womb. All these subtle things, who will tell us except the rishis? The rishis had such a clear vision of these things that they were able to tell us that what was happening inside the womb. It is not simply put some stethoscope and meters and all, check out, everything is okay, doctor says everything is okay, you can go home now. Tells the pregnant woman, and pregnant woman goes home happily, everything is okay. That is not so simple like that. What happens inside, that is, and that jandu, who is in that state inside the womb, is praying to Krishna there, don't send me there again. But Krishna says that you have promised me so many times this, and you have cheated me. Get out from here. And gives you a good kick. And that's the reason when he kicks out, initially we were sitting head up and body down inside the womb, but we comes upside down and comes out from the womb. Prasutyai Suti Maharuta, Krishna's agent, Suti Maharuta, who is present inside, does that work for Krishna. That's why, and from that day onwards, everything is upside down. From the day we came out, we comes out upside down. From that day onwards, the whole life is upside down. Is it not? Whole life is upside down. Who thinks we are living good life? Who says that? Our life is so disaster that the day we come out, what happened inside the womb and what Krishna has given us there, we have lost it. That knowledge has gone away. That is the other important thing. So, thing is this. That, so, Shudena Arthena Chanjasa, Shruti, Upanishads, Vedam, they have something to tell us. And to bring that to us, they have to bring this whole episode of birth for us. In Kabilam, that's what you are studying, 25 to 33, 8 chapters in the third canto. It's all about the birth of a living being in this world. How we take birth here. What all happens behind the scene, which is unknown to us. Now we don't know anything. We just think that it all happened. I don't know why it happened, what happened. No, we just hear now. That's all we think about ourselves. But Kaviramahashi says to the Avahudhi Devi, things have gone wrong a long time ago. There itself the problems have begun. And you are bringing those vasanas here what you have acquired from previous lifetime. And that Jandu, in that Jandu form, he is glorifying Krishna. And that is what is called Jandustuti. Jandustuti. Normally you wouldn't expect a Jandu to glorify Krishna, isn't it? But Jandu glorifies Krishna, and that is called Jandustuti. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, throughout you will find Stuti, glorifications from Vasudev, Devaki, and similarly Gopis, and Vrutrasura, Ambarish, and Akrura, and Bhishma, Kunti Devi, all of them glorifying, glorifying, glorifying. So, when these glorifications, they convey the actual purport of their realizations, what they have had realized before, and that is flowing freely from through them. Freely from, and that power has been given to them by Krishna. And it's also Krishna is doing. Actually, they are not glorifying. Krishna is glorifying, but through them. Through their body and mind, it is flowing, coming out. That is what Dhruva started like that, isn't it? Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuttam sanjeevayati agila shakti dharya sudhamnam anyeja hasta charana shravana togadin prana namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Dhruva Maharaj openly said this. He said, if I am saying anything, it's not mine. Because who is running this body? Krishna is running this body. Andaryami, inside. So, Anyamsha Hasta Charana Shravana Togadin Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. That Pranan, who is Pranan? Krishna's. Krishna is Pranan. Pranan has come from Krishna. So, anything, anybody glorifies Krishna, it is Krishna who is doing that, but it is happening through that particular person's body or mind, whichever way it is. Whether it's Bhishma, whether it's Kunti Devi, whether it's Rudrasura, whether it's somebody else, it doesn't matter. According to the different devotees, whoever has spoken about Krishna, again, Krishna is talking about Krishna through them. Krishna is talking about Krishna through them. So, Buddher Jagaranam Sopta Sushupti Hiti Chochade Mayamatra Idam Rajan Nanatum Pratyagalmani. That is a very important statement. You see, this buddhi intelligence, don't get it mixed up with your material intelligence. This intelligence is referring to the metha shakti, ability to absorb spiritual knowledge. It's not material knowledge. Ability to absorb spiritual knowledge is called metha shakti. That is what's called buddhi here. You will see in the Upanishads they use the word metha shakti. Metha. Metha, that is why among the Brahmana community, when they are very small children, they are taught to recite these verses called Metha Sutta, to strengthen their Metha, absorption power of the spiritual knowledge. To absorb that Metha power, they are trained to recite this Metha Sutta from an early age, before other things. And those who are reciting this Metha Devi, she will give that strength for Metha Shakti. Metha Shakti is that intelligence. As soon as something is spoken on a subtle level, able to understand that subtlety, sushmada will come to that person. They won't be gross. They develop that subtle, able to look inward, andharmuhatam, inward looking, and able to develop that subtlety inside. That is called metha shakti, and that's called intelligence here. So this buddhi jagrana saptam sushupti riti chochale, waken state, dream state, and deep sleep. Where our metha shakti is present, in there, if maya is present there, if maya influences that strongly, like in our case, we lose that power. We become very gross, isn't it? We become very, very gross. That's what happens. If our metha shakti is influenced by maya, we become very gross. If maya comes out of our metha shakti or buddhi, what will happen? We become very subtle. And once you become subtle, then what Krishna is saying here, what Shiva Brahmashri is saying, we will easily capture that. We will easily capture that. So he says here, Maya Matram Idam Rajan. These three modes of, these three states itself, waken state, dream state, deep sleep, these three states itself is present due to the presence of Maya. If Maya is present in a person, that means these three states are present in him. From that you can understand we are not out of Maya. We are always in Maya. We are never out of Maya. Although we may say, sometimes we may say that we are devotees, we are Krishna, serving Krishna and all. You can say that, but you have to always remember this, that Maya Matra Vimam Rajan, my dear king, he says there, they are also products of Maya because these three states are existing, vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. And due to the presence of that Maya, Nanatvam. Nanatvam means this variegatedness is present in the creation. Nanatvam Pratyagatmani. In the Pratyagatma, Pratyagatma means that one Atma who is present inside, there you are experiencing these variations in the world. The various, the varieties. What does that mean? Dvandvam. Dualities of this world. You are experiencing inside very strongly, is it not? That you say that this person is right, this person is wrong. This person is good, this person is bad. But if you come to the spiritual platform, leaving behind the body, mind and intelligence, which person is good and which person is bad? Nobody is good and nobody is bad either. So good and bad, right and wrong, and beautiful and ugly, all these things are coming from the understanding of the body, identification with the body. Once you are moved away from the body, they have no meaning at all. They have no meaning. That is why Krishna is saying, in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, that Dvandvatraya Vibhaga Yogam, he says there. Isn't it? Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, Dvandvatraya Vibhaga Yogam, he says there. That this Dvandvam happens under three modes. Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Three modes of nature is Gunatrayam. Three modes of nature, its effect is Dvandvatrayam. So, till you free from this Dvandvam, till you get free from the duality, till you get free from the modes of nature, proper spiritual experience is not possible. It's not possible. You can say sometimes that, oh, I'm experiencing bliss, I'm experiencing ecstasy and all that, but they are all on a completely under the influence of Maya. You're not free from the grip of Maya yet. So that's what he's saying here. Maya matram imam rajan nanatvam pratyagatmani. Nanatvam will come. Nanatvam means this feeling what we create inside us. World exists, and in this world all these varieties exist, and all these varieties we start identifying one as good and one as bad. You know how that expands, that vision expands in that way. That's called Nanatvam. But Pratyagatma inside is one. He is not many. For him, there is no duality. Atma doesn't have duality. There is no Dvandvam inside. Inside the soul, Antaryami, he has no Dvandvam. He has no duality. But all this is experienced by us. Where is it experienced? It's experienced because of his presence there. But it is a reflection of the mind and the senses that is dealing with, interacting with the world. So these three states and analyzing this is the main process in the Vedantam to inquiring about the self. These three states is the main process in the Vedantam while inquiring about the self. And these three states are used again to know about Maya also. To know Maya also. So here now what's happening is Parikshit is going now, isn't it? Parikshit is leaving. So therefore the time is very close for him to leave. And therefore what he has done is that Parikshit, again Shiva Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit that this vacant state is not much different from the dream state, bringing the similarities between the two. That you will see in the 5th chapter, in the 12th canto. That adhyastam. Adhyastam means that dream state and the vacant state, there is not a lot of a difference. That we have talked many times before. That there is no practically much difference between the vacant state and the dream state. So that is how he mentions there those things. And finally he says there that Nahi satyasya nanatvam avidvan yadi manyade Nanatum Chidrayor Yadva Jolishor Vatayoriva. Another, there are certain verses which will hit you straight if you understand it properly. He says, Nahi Satyasya Nanatum. Means the fourth chapter, it's the 30th verse, 12:4:30. Nahi Satyasya Nanatum. Avidvan Yadi Manyate. Nanatum Chidrayo Yadvat Jodishor Vatayoriva. He says here that Satyavastu, Satyavastu means in the truth, there is no Nanatum. There is no variegatedness there. In the truth. Truth is one. That is the important statement there. The truth is one. There is no many there. Many doesn't exist there. There is only one truth. And that is in the beginning also you will notice in the first canto, second chapter. Is it now? Vadandita tattva idam tattvam yat jnanam advaya jnanam it is called. Why is it called advaya jnanam? No dvayam. Advaya means no duality. Advaya jnanam. Brahmedi paramatmedi. You can call by any name. Brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavanedi, shabdyade. You can call by any of the names. That's okay. That's no problem. But vastu is one. There's no two things there. So that vastu, he is saying here, nahi satyasya nanatum avidvan yadi manyade. In the satyavastu, in that advaya jnanam, there is no nanatum. Nanatum, I don't know what's the right word in English. The way I understand is this, that this multiplicity, what we are feeling in this world. This exists, that exists, he exists, she exists, tree exists, different species exist. Namarubam. That is what comes out. Different names and forms. What we see in this world is Namarubam. This Namarubam is this Nanatum. Namarubam is Nanatum. That is how we give different names to different products, isn't it? Different objects. Like this is the microphone, this is the stand, this is the wire, and then there is a computer or whatever, and the table, chairs, like this, millions of objects. As far as Shiva Brahmashri is concerned, they don't exist. What exists here is Ekatum. Only one thing, that is spirit, Atma. So, Nahi Satyasya Nanatum. But then, avidvan yadi manyade, a person who has no knowledge, he thinks all these things are existing. All these various things are existing. Nanatum chidrayor jyodi, chidrayor yadva jyodishor vadayoriva. Nanatum, he says, if anybody believes that Nanatum is existing, it is similar to two examples he has given here. One, the pot, small pot, and there is a sky inside and the sky outside. If you break the pot, there's only one sky. Ghatagasham and Matagasham. That's one example. And the other example is the sun in the sky and its reflection in the water. There are so many tanks, what sun is reflecting all over, but all those reflections have no meaning. Because once you have taken out all the water, then there's only one sun. There's only one sun existing, there's not too many other things. Isn't it? So here, that we talked before also, that the clouds have come due to the sun. And the clouds are covering our vision of the sun now. Although it has come from the sun itself. Isn't it? Similarly, for Brahman, all these things have come out. And Ahankaram, what we have now, our false ego, that it has become a cloud for us. Our own ahankaram has become a cloud inside us, blocking our realization of the self which is inside, or the self inside. So, and when that has gone away, that's what he's saying here, that when through his knowledge he realizes the self, that means the jiva, he manages to cut rid of this false, get rid of the false ego, cut it off. Jnanasin upasanaya shitena, Krishna says. Jnanasin upasanaya shitena. That's the word Krishna has used. So through knowledge of the self, when he cuts off this ignorance in a person, that means ahankaram, that false ego has completely gone away. And at that time, the state, what he is in, that is called final devastation. Atyandika pralaya. means when self-realization happens, and that thing called the jiva, which is ahangaram, as identity, when that completely disappears, then what remains there is the final devastation, as happened to that person. So then he is seeing not this world anymore like the way we are seeing. In the initially, when we read Bhagavatam, they will talk about, like the creation they spoke about, we are interested how it was created. Where did all this come from? That was the first question. So therefore, there is that explanation, Brahma, how he created, who was created first, how the creation happened, everything. Then we want to know how the devastation happens. Next thing, what will happen at the end? We are here for 60, 70 years. But we want to know everything from beginning to end. So we'll ask the question, people will ask this question. In your religion, what does it say? They will ask. Then they will say, this is not like in the Bible. They say something else. Or in Quran, something different. So they say, everything is wrong. They will leave everything like that. That's the way it is. But if you come to understand from the Vedic point of view, creation and destruction, these things are not the important thing. You know, to wasting time on that. Because creation, when is creation begins? When you have come here. Before that, where was the creation? And when does creation finishes? When you leave from this world. Creation is over. After that, you won't be worrying about the creation, would you? You won't be asking the question, who created this? And because you are here, therefore creation has become important. So you are more important than the creation. Creation is not the important thing. But in every, generally, in all religions, they will answer this question in a way to give you an answer to suit your that state. In that state of inquiry, that is the way to answer. But when you have become a little bit more thoughtful and more analytical inside and started understanding spiritual life in a proper way, what it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, then you start realizing that, why am I inquiring about all these things? What meaning has it got? I should be inquiring about myself, not about the world. What has been created and who is present here? What does it matter? I am gone tomorrow. And all these people whom I am inquiring after, they will also be gone. We may not see each other anymore. And I am inquiring about this. So, is that a proper inquiry then? That's not a good inquiry, is it? That's less like reading a newspaper. How much serious you are, that's the same seriousness. That's not very intelligent inquiry. Intelligent inquiry is that who is inquiring? Who is the person inquiring after? Find out who is that. That is inquiry. That is spirituality. Spirituality is not inquiring and finding out all the information about the world. Most of us are in that state. We do that all the time. We want to find out where everything, all the planets are and who and running what and what's happening there. It's not much different than a scientist's inquiry, isn't it? Scientist's inquiry is also like that. He's inquiring about all the whole Brahmandam or universe. He wants to find out where it has come from. And now and then they will release one note that the sun will run out, their energy in the sun. The helium that's burning in the sun is running out and one day it will collapse or something like that. Some statement they'll pull out from their head and they'll put it in the paper. Newspapers will all say, oh, this is scientists are saying. Everybody falls into that trap. But important thing is, that's not very intelligent approach, is it not? So, Atyantika Pralayam, final devastation is that when we have cut off our ignorance, ahankaram inside, through the sword of knowledge, and we have realized the self, with that, the whole thing comes to an end. There is no more devastation. There is no more, because as far as it is at that time, we realize that even creation has not happened. Creation even has not happened. That is why some of the highest Vedantic principles, when you bring it down into Puranam in a particular way, it does cause a little difficulty. Bandho mukta idivyakyam gunado mena vastuda gunasya maya moilatval name mokshona bandhanam. Krishna says in the 11th chapter, I think, in the first verse itself. So, when Krishna spoke about the truth, he spoke on a completely different level when he spoke to Uddhava about those things. And you can also see another thing, that when Parikshit came and sat down to hear Bhagavatam, He was saying, I've got 7 days time. He was thinking like that. Isn't it? I've got only 7 days time, you know, he's saying. So, these 7 days time, you talk to me about Krishna. It's who Parikshit says to Shuka Brahmarshi. Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, oh, after all, you've got 7 days time, haven't you? Inside, he's laughing. Because as far as Shuka Brahmarshi is concerned, there is no 7 days even. These days, time, clock, watch and all, we have created. Is it not? So naturally, Parikshit will speak like that. And Shuka Brahmarshi, it is in the beginning. Yeah, beginning, when he started the conversation of Bhagavadam, he says to Parikshit, after all, my dear king, you have got 7 days, haven't you? He is laughing inside, and outside, he is consoling him. After all, you have got 7 days, haven't you? And what happens at the final day? Final day, he says to him, you are not even born, and what to talk about death? Now you are saying, you are frightened in the beginning that I am going to die in 7 days' time. Finally, when Shuka Brahmarshi told him that you are not even born, where is the question of death? Parikshit is laughing now. When that is Parikshit's words, if you read, you will see that. Siddhosmi, anigrahidosmi. The words, how he answered that, if you look into the... See, this is realization. This is what spiritual life means. I was in a state of deep ignorance when he met Shuka Brahmarshi first time. Is it not? When he met him first time, in a deep ignorant state, I am asking questions. In spiritual life, it is like that. We'll be firing away question after question in the beginning. Because we think that if these questions can be answered, everything, we got the answer. That's how we come to the spiritual life first, looking for the answer. Sometimes people all say like that. I was looking for the absolute truth. And then I met these devotees and they gave me the absolute truth. And I got it. Since then I became a devotee. And that's what changed my life. And all kinds of things we say. But what you have to remember is, Parikshit also came like that. He says to him that, I've got 7 days time, my dear Shiva Brahmarshi. You have to do something about it. After that, Takshaka will come and he will bite me and I'll be gone. Before that, whatever I can do, I have to do. What should I do? He's asking. What did Shuka Brahmarshi say to him? He says to him that that is that verse in the fifth chapter. You will see, you are not even born. What to talk about death? Have you said clear now? He says to him. Have you realized that? That's what, you'll see that verse. That is the thing that yeah. Tumturajan Marishedi Pashabuddhim Imam Jahi Najataha. You are not born. Pragabudodhya Dehavatvam Namankshasi. Therefore, don't talk like this, like animals, he says. You're talking like an animal. Animals talk like that. So you can imagine from what state he is saying this. That hey Rajan, Tvam Aham Marishe Idi Pashabuddhim Jahi. He says, my dear king, that this, I will die, that statement, please don't say this to me anymore. He said, I'm going to die. He said, if you talk like that, I can only say you're just an animal. He says, Tumturajan Marishedi Pashubuddhim Imam Jehi. Then he says, Najadaham Tum Dehavad Pragabodha Adya Jato Na Asi Tasmat Dehavad Namankshasi. The body was created. You are not created. You are always there. And nothing to do with the body. And unlike the body, you are not created at that time. You are not created at that time. And therefore, because you are not created, you cannot be destroyed either. This is that realization. Tapna jadaha pragabodhodya dehavatvanna nankshasri. He says, don't compare these two things. Atma inside, he was never created. He is always there. He is always there. And because he is Satya, isn't it? He is Satya. Deham is Asatya. And you have fallen into the trap thinking that you are this body. That is Asatya. And you are telling me that you are going to die. So please do not repeat this again. Najadaha Pragabudhodhya Dehavatvam Nanankshasi. There is no question of thing called a death. There is no question of thing called a death. There is no such thing called a death as far as Shukha Brahmarshi is concerned. So he says to Parikshit in that way. So when you read that verse, and also the remaining verses in that, there's only 13 verses in there, in that chapter. These 13 verses, compare that with the second canto, when we started Bhagavatam. When Shukha Brahmarshi walks in, all the rishis who are present there, they got up, and Shukha Brahmarshi sits underneath the banyan tree and starts speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. And Parikshit and everyone is trying to help Parikshit to make him realize what he should do. Some people said he should engage in Ashtanga Yogam. Somebody said he should engage in Yajnam or Yagam, performing sacrifices. Various recommendations from different sages to Parikshit. And Parikshit is sitting there. I've got 7 days' time to go. What should I do? He's asking. And the first canto, when you read the last chapter, 19th chapter, that's when Shukha Brahmarshi comes there, isn't it? So when Shukha Brahmarshi comes there, and when he saw Parikshit, and he sat down to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, what was going through his mind? You can imagine that. That here is a person, a great king, Parikshit, sitting there and crying about his death. What's going to happen after 7 days' time? And that is why he understood that this is the person I should speak Srimad Bhagavatam to. And he spoke Bhagavatam in such a way, in 7 days' time, he made him realize what the truth is. Truth is this. Na jadaha. There is no such thing called birth. There is no such thing. If there is no thing called birth, there is no thing called death either. Is it not? So, you can only say your spiritual life is successful if you have come to that understanding. Then you can say that all this time you have spent in this world was worthwhile. If this realization happens in life. If this doesn't happen, whereas like a sheep you followed so many people here, there, everywhere, and finally you left this world like anybody else in this world, then you couldn't say that spiritual life was successful, could you? You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. Only if this realization has happened to whatever degree it happens, that you do not know. That is in Krishna's hands. We have to do all the sadhana, what we have been told. We have to do everything. But finally, it is Krishna's grace that makes it happen. If he wants that to happen, it will happen to anyone, anytime, anywhere in this world. And that is what the previous history shows, isn't it? Whether it is Jadabharata, whether it is Dattatreya, whether it is Rishabhadev, whether it is anyone else, it is that mercy that comes from Krishna in that form that makes that decision, who should have it and who shouldn't. So that's the way it happens. So, important thing. Now, the same thing. If you look into Bhagavad Gita also, you will see the same thing happening to Arjuna. Arjuna came to Krishna with a lot of knowledge, hasn't he? Saying that I knew this, how can I do that? This is immoral what I am doing, and if I do this, what will happen to the whole society and all that. Big thing Arjuna was talking like it. That's why straight away Krishna cut him off there. What did he say? Prajñāvādāṁśa bhāṣase, he says. Ashochyan anyashochastvam prajñāvādāṁśa bhāṣase. Gadāsuna gadāsumśa nāni shochandi pandidāha. Don't tell me all these things, he says. Krishna says. Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami and all, they speak the spiritual language. They are not like us, who bring everything and start lamenting about it. And when Arjuna started saying this to Krishna, Krishna says that Ashochyan anyashochastvam. He says, by seeing your way of talking, all I can say is one thing, he says, that you are just an idiot, he says. That's what he is saying there to him. Why? Prajñāvādāṁ śabha. Be big talk, but nothing in realization. What's the use, he's saying. Krishna is asking Arjuna, big talk, but nothing in realization. What is the use? That is what that line means. Prajñāvādāṁ śabha śase. Big talk. Gadāsuna gadāsumśa nāni śocanti pandiraha. That coming and going, anyone who worries about that, he's not learned. Krishna says that, isn't it? Gadāsuna gadāsumśa nāni śocanti pandiraha. Learned person will not think about something coming and going. Coming and going is not an issue as far as they are concerned. Because if you are worrying about coming and going, that means you are in Maya, basically. That is what he is saying there to Arjuna. And this is how Krishna started Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember? This is all in the beginning. And Arjuna wanted to hear from Krishna, and in the second chapter he spoke in essence about the truth. He spoke about that, the nature of Atma, isn't it? He presented all that to Atma. Then he slowly moved on to Ahankaram. He started discussing Ahankaram there. And then some questions came up, then Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam all followed. And finally what did Krishna say to him at the last, what did Arjuna say to Krishna at that time finally? Exactly like the way Parikshit realized, Arjuna also realized that he says to Krishna that the verses in the 18th chapter where he says to Krishna that these things what you have spoken to me has opened, but I got back that understanding. Did he not say that? What did he say? I got that smriti back. Nashta moha smriti lebdhva, he says. Moham has gone, smriti has come back. So that's the same thing. Spiritual life is, this is the way spiritual life works. Ignorance is gone, knowledge has come inside. That's what it means. Nashto moha smridir lebdhva. Talpasara yachuda. Gadosmi sidasandeha karishe vachanam tava. Doubts have gone from inside once for all. And now I will do what you tell me to do. Exactly like the way Parikshit is saying to Shubramashi. So, you can see where Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita goes together. That relationship. How spiritual life develops in a person. How, when instructions begin, and how instructions ends. When you begin the instruction, it's one way. When you end the instruction, it's a different way. Completely the whole scenario changes. And it is that change that's happening in Arjuna and in Parikshit. That's what you have to notice. You have to take note of. That's what is important for us. This is the change what is expected to happen to all of us in our own spiritual life. Otherwise, if you just memorize 700 verses or 1000 verses and say that I studied Bhagavad Gita and pass the time in this world, it is not self-realization. It's not what Krishna is expecting us to do from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. That this change and this way, Parikshit said, Aham Brahma Paramdama Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Altmanam Altmanyadhaya Nishkale Dashandam Takshakam Pade Lilihanam Vishanale Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha Pratakalpana. He says there, Nadrakshasi. He says, I can't see the body anymore. You can't see this body anymore. So, even Takshaka cannot bite me because I am gone, left this body already. And it is after that Takshaka comes and touches the body and it burns into ashes and all. That happens much later. By then Parikshit is already gone. Person is left. That's what he's saying. Dashandam nakshagampade lelihanam vishanalehi nadrakshasi shariramcha vishwamcha pradhagalpana. That pradhagalpana, pratyagalpa inside, I don't see anything separated from him. Neither the body, my body, nor this world, nor even Takshaga. I don't see Takshaga anymore. I don't see the world anymore. I don't see this body anymore. Parikshit is saying. Dashandam Takshagam Padi Lelihanam Vishanalehi Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha Pradhagalpana. In the Pradhalma, Pradhalma, inside that Alma, all these things are not existing as far as the Alma is concerned. Alma is concerned. This is the situation with that two birds also. Remember the two birds sitting on the tree? That one bird which is golden color, that bird is not seeing anything. That bird is situated in the full knowledge all the time. The other bird, which is coming out, eating the different fruits and jumping from one branch to another. Sometimes sweet, sometimes bitter fruits. When it gets a sweet fruit, it jumps into the next one to get more. When it gets the bitter fruit, it looks back. Our state, that is the absence of that knowledge. Absence of the knowledge inside. So that's another thing to remember in that fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in that 12th canto. So, simply, this 12th canto, we won't go too much into detail now, because when we come back later, there are certain parts in the 12th canto which are important. We don't want to discuss it, all the stories of all these different kings, this son, that son, this son, his son, like how many years they ruled this planet, all they are not that important. What is important in this 12th canto? Ashrayam, the shelter, and then Markandeya story, which is an important one. And so generally we'll touch and go. Mainly what is spoken is Kalki's appearance, Kalki's incarnation. So all with that, all the 10 incarnations are over. Major incarnations are over. So it is at the end of Kalki, end of Kali Yuga, that this Kalki incarnation happens. So the first three chapters are showing to us when this Kalki incarnation will happen. And the Kalki incarnation. And therefore, the time of Kali. Therefore, Kali's degradation is spoken in detail. And so when these problems of Kali Yuga, when it becomes very acute in the society, that means when the people become totally like animals, like dishonesty, no mercy, quarreling all the time, fighting each other, and all other things, what Krishna has, Śrīla Brahmarṣi has spoken there, when all these bad qualities builds up in the society, Krishna will lose the patience. Krishna will lose his patience. And then he will start, I can't tolerate this anymore, and he will start on the horse. So, and that Brahmana for whom he will be born as the son, Krishna will take birth from that Brahmana's son, he is performing his penances in Badrinath, even now. He is performing his penances. And from his sacrificial fire, that Kalki will appear. And he will start on the horses. And so how that time will be, that is what so many verses in that canto. The verses in the Kali Yuga. How Kali Yuga will be, that we know very well. We don't need even Bhagavatam to tell us how Kali Yuga is, isn't it? It's a clear understanding why our living here, direct experience we have from Kali Yuga. So, so therefore, in the third chapter, you will see there that he mentions that yadha lobastu asandosho mano dambhoda malsara. Karmanam chabi kamyanam dwavaram tantrajastama. And yada mayanradam tandra nidra himsa vishadanam shogam moham bhayam dainyam sa kali tamasas prada. That is the best definition of Kali Yuga. And if you look at that is all in this world when you look outside. Shogam moham bhayam dainyam. 30, next verse. 30, 3, 12, 3:30. Yada maya anurdam tandra nidra himsa vishadanam shogam moham bhayam dhainyam sa kali tamasa smrida. When you see these things predominant, kapatim means anurdam or duplicity. And no truthfulness, laziness, sleeping always, himsa, violence, always in distress. Shokam, moham, hankering and lamentation, or illusion you can say. Moham is illusion. Shokam means always lamenting. And bhayam, dainyam, always fearful. Fearful, always. Dainyam. Dainyam means feeling sorry about oneself in that way. When all these things, when it happens, Krishna is saying, Shobhramashi says there, sa kali tamasa smrita. You can take that, Kali has come full of tamogunam, dominated with tamogunam. So tamogunam is Kali's arena. Kali will act, and for which tamogunam is required. So tamogunam will build up in people, and therefore all these problems, maya, anuragam, nidra, himsa, vishadanam, shogam, moham, bhayam, dhainyam, all combinedly is all aspects of the tamogunam. They are all tamogunam. All these things mentioned are tamogunam. So when that happens, he says that this is our wealth in Kali. This is what we got in Kali Yuga. To say we have got something. If you want to say something that you got something, this is what we have got. Yes, in abundance, yes. So every day when we go through this, practically Krishna is saying you won't see anything good anywhere. Nowhere you will see anything good. And tatascha anudinam, he says. He says, tatascha anudinam. If you look into the second chapter, you will see this word. Some of the words Krishna has used there. Tadascha anudinam, he says. Shri Shuka Vaja, first verse itself. Tadascha anudinam dharmam satyam shaujam kshamadeya kalena balilara rajan nankshit ayur balam smriti. Anudinam means tadascha anudinam. That means day by day, this will get worse. This will get worse. That's what he's saying there. So, every day, these qualities will disappear from this world. So, you won't have the same interest in spiritual life like what you had yesterday, you won't find it today. And tomorrow, you'll find less than today. It'll get worse day by day. And it'll continuously decrease. And therefore, wherever you look, you will see there these problems coming in a different way. Dasyul Krishna Janabada, that is the 32nd verse in the 3rd chapter, 12.3.32. Dasyul Krishna Janabada Veda Pagantha Dushitaha Rajam Nascha Paja Baksha Shishna Udara Paraj Vijaha. You can't go lower than that. Dasyut Krishna Janabada Veda Paganda Dushidaha Rajan Nascha Praja Baksha Shishna Udara Bharad Vijaha. In Kali Yugam, generally people will be Janabada Veda Paganda Dusha Dasyut Krishna. That means basically they are all thieves, he's saying. Everybody is a thief in the Kali Yugam. They are all thieves in Kali Yugam. And then whole general class of people is referring to. There will be no honesty anywhere. Veda Paganda Dushida. Even they will use Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedam to make a business out of it. Veda Paganda Dushida. People will see wherever they can make money out of anything, they will do that. That will be the quality of Kali. Kali's quality is lying there. Where can we make money? If Vedic literature helps you to make money, use that also. To make money. This Veda Paganda Dushidaha. Then Rajam Nascha Praja Baksha. King or the administration, there will be only one job they have got. How to suck and exploit and suck as much as possible from the Praja, from the public. Taxation or this or that. They will become bigger thieves than anybody else. That's the way it works, isn't it? You can see that all the time. If you carefully look at the world, you will see this is the whole thing that's going on. Rajam nascha praja baksha. they will eat the subjects, the kings. And Shishnodara Parad Vijaha. And there the population will be busy with Shishnam and Udara about the stomach and the genitals. That will be their life in this world. You can't express it better than this, isn't it? How close to the truth it is. The Sril Krishna, Janabada, Veda, Paganda Dushidaha, Rajam Nashta Praja Baksha, Shishnodara Varad Vijaha. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
चेदोदर्पणवर्जनम् वामहादावाग्निनिर्वापणम् श्रेयकैतवचन्द्रिया वितरणम् विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दामुदिवर्धनम् प्रतिपदपूर्णामृदास्वादनम् सर्वात्मासुभनम् परम् विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि दानीमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिदानुरागाः तृणारभीषु नीचैना हरोरभिः सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरे न जनम् न सुन्दरीम् कविताम् वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदात् भक्तिरहेतुगे त्वयि ऐ नन्दमनुजगिङ्गरम् पतितामामृषमे भवाम्बुदो कृपयाथमपादपङ्कजस्थितदूळि सदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनम् गलदशुधारय वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकर्निजिनम् कदा वपु त्वान्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिनम् शून्यायिनम् जगत्सर्वम् गोविन्द विरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरताम् भिनष्टु माम् अदर्शनाम् अर्महदाम् करोतु वा विददा दिलम्बडो मल्प्राणनादास्तु न एव नापराम्
So, it's all, so that verse, what it says in the third chapter. Dasyul Krishna Janabada Veda Paganda Bhushitaha Rajanascha Praja Bakshaha Shishnodarabara Dvijaha. Dasyul Krishna Janabada Veda Paganda Bhushidaha means general class of people will be thieves. Oh, thieves. Veda Paganda Bhushidaha. People will use even Vedic literature to make a living out of it. Rajanascha Praja Baksha. Kings will be, all the rulers will exploit the public, the general class people. And Shishno Udara Parad Dvijaha. Brahmanas will degrade themselves to this. Which one? Shishnam Udaram. Genitals and stomach. Satisfying that will become a Brahminical occupation. To that extent, why it is spoken like that is to such an extent it can degrade. If a Brahmana does that, then what Brahmana is he? If Shudra does that, it is okay, because that's not expected from him. But a person with knowledge of the self and knowledge of Vedic literature, Brahmajani Didi Brahmana, one who knows Brahman, one who realizes what is the truth, if he does that, things has to be pretty bad. That's what it is saying there. So that's why it's saying here that wherever you look, there will be only thieves. Wherever you look around, it's all thieves. In the olden days, thieves used to be in the, they used to live in the forest or hide away from the general public. Is it not? They will not live among the public. Among the public. In Kali Yuga, it will be different. In Kali Yuga, they will live among the public and they will live in the best houses and in the best property. And if you inquire a little bit deeper into it, what they are doing, only then you will know the kind of things what they are doing in this world. Outside, everything looks very glorious, living in a very beautiful palace, and all look gentlemen. But only if you go to a little bit deeper and to find out what their activities are, then you will know how this verse is true. That Dasyul Krishna Janapadaha. So in Kali Yugam, they won't be in the forest. They'll be in the country itself, in the towns and cities. And situation has happened that way, that they will come and exploit others and take away everything from them. So Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying all these things to us, not as a joke. He is saying to us, this is what is in the pipeline, what is on its way. And Vedam will be influenced by people. Vedam will be influenced by people, by those who does not believe the authority of the truth, authority of Krishna, Krishna's authority. They don't believe in that, and they will take control of the Vedic literature. And they will start explaining Vedic literature in that way. That means the message of the Vedic literature won't be delivered to the people. And kings or the rulers, their main occupation will be how to exploit the general class of people and make a good living out of them. This will become their prime goal of life. And in other words, kings will live in this world at the cost of the general public. That stage will come. And when they said kings, that they are talking about in the olden language, but it applies to the modern world, whichever way it is. So similarly, you can see all the leaders among the public or the ministers, all of them, if you look around the world, it's the same thing going on, isn't it? Because that is the language of the administrative group, isn't it? The ministers and the parliament members and so many others like that. So, as much as possible, their living will be based on the public. To squeeze out as much as possible from the subjects, from the public, from the people. And they will never care whether people are peaceful in their life or satisfied in their life. Shishno dara paradvijaha. And these things are important in the age of Kali. These things will happen and the symptoms of Kali. Brahmanas will have interest in only these two things. What are they? Shishnam and Udaram. That should be always totally satisfied. The stomach as well as the genitals. And Brahmacharis are concerned, it will be only the dress outside. There won't be any Brahmachari strictly in that sense. And because Brahmachari Vratam or Brahmachari's terms and conditions are very severe to follow, no Brahmachari will be there of that category in this world. You may have a saffron cloth and all that, but about that, there will be no other Brahmachari there in that way. And sannyasis will travel around the world with their wives and children. That will happen at a later date. Sannyasis have already fallen. As far as Vedavyasa is concerned, Varnashrama Dharmam is completely finished. It's not there anymore. Already the symptoms are there in the society, is it not? Sannyasis will have his family traveling with him in the same flight. But a lot of sannyasis goes and stays at home with the wife and children. And then they will say, this sannyasi's son is this sannyasi, this sannyasi's son is this sannyasi. It will build up like this. A sannyasi parambara will come in that way. So, then, he says, they will have no problem in introducing their wives to others. Sannyasis won't have any problem, no problem in introducing their wives to others. And next one, householder situation, better not to talk about it. It's like that. Look at the verse. Avradaha. vadavo ashauja vikshavascha kudumbinaha 33 11 12 333 avrada vadavo ashauja vikshavascha kudumbinaha tapasino gramavasa nasino athyarthalolubaha. Brahmachari won't have any proper way of life. Brahmachari life won't, Brahmacharyam won't be there. Celibacy won't be there. And not properly clean. And householders, they won't give bhiksha to the others. Instead, they will be traveling around. You can see that tendency in the householder. Is it not? Want to go on holidays everywhere. As much holidays as possible. If I can fit in two or three holidays every year, it's very nice, isn't it? And he thinks that his life is only meant for this. Make a lot of money and then go with the wife and children on holidays, one resort after the other resort, and enjoy life in that way. Householder is doing this. That's what, it's already what spoken there. And he says, tapasino gramavasa nyasino athirtha lolupaha. He says that vanaprastham, you're supposed to go into the forest and practice severe austerities. That won't be there anymore, he says. They'll be living W1 postcode. Vanaprastham will be in W1. And places like that. But if you ask them, then I'm in the Vanaprastha there. So many people I've seen like that. They say, oh, we are in Vanaprastha stage, they say. And if you meet them up, they'll say, you'll see them in somewhere in the city center somewhere. Why you are not staying in the forest? If you ask them, they say, no, this is the way Vanaprastha now it is. Nyasino athyartha lolubaha. He says, sannyasis will have the greatest greed in them. They'll be so greedy, sannyasis, he says, for money. There'll be so much greed in them for money. Atyartha lolubaha. Too much greed inside, sannyasis. Sannyasi is supposed to be free from all these problems of this world. Because as far as he is concerned, he does not have to maintain a family. He doesn't have anything to do in this world. Practically, he's supposed to help people in spiritual side. Instead, they are busy with fundraising and so many things which going on in the name of sannyasam is difficult sometimes to digest. Sannyasino athyartha lolubaha. Then after that, talking about women. Next one. Hraswakayam maha aharam bhuryavatya gadakriyaha shashwat kadagabhashinya shauryam mayoru sahasaha. He says, generally women will be shorter, they'll become shorter, and they will eat a lot. And sometimes they'll have many children also, many children. And they lose their shyness. And always when they speak, they'll speak in the most discourteous way, in a hurting way. And Shashwat Kadagabhashinya. Kadagabhashinya means they'll speak in a way, most unpleasant way. Normally, women are supposed to speak in a way which is pleasing to others, isn't it? But that won't be there. Shashwat Khadagavashanyam Chavuri Mayoru Sahasaha. Then they won't have any difficulty in taking risks in life and stealing. These are all not everybody. Do not misunderstand it that way. It's referring to general society, how things will degrade in this society. There are many, many great personalities among women who are living very high lifestyle, spiritually. Living a very good life, and you will see them because they have got time at home to study Bhagavatam and much more advanced in the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, much more cultured in that way. Also, there are many people like that. So it's not that everybody you can't put into that. So then after that he says there that that panayishyanti vai kshudraha kirana kudakarinaha anabadhyavi mamsyande vartam sadhu jugupsidam. That businessmen, they will show a lot of cheating and lying in their dealings with the customers. And that will be the main art of doing business. How to cheat. That will be predominant in all the dealings in business. And sarve janaha anavadhyam jugupsidam vartam sadhu. And even when times are not bad, life is getting on smoothly in this world, even then all people will stoop down to do things which are not very honorable. They'll do such things. They'll stoop down to such levels to make money. Even though there is no need for that. There is enough to live in this world. Even the time is not troublesome. Everything is okay going on in life. But still, people will do such things. Still to... For nothing, they will do things which are not allowed from the society.
Padim tekshanti nirdravyam vrithya apyahilotamam vrithyam vipannam padaya kaulam gaschavayasvini.
If you have a servant, he won't have that servitude nature. He will only serve you as long as you pay. The moment you stop paying or anything happens, and as soon as you become poor, you are not able to pay, he will leave you behind and go. You may say, then if you don't pay, why should I serve you? That is not the proper relationship. Equally, if you are serving somebody very loyally and faithfully, as long as you are healthy, he will look after you. But the moment you become sick, he will throw you out. That is also other side of it. The master and the servant, there is no trust or faith or love between them anymore. Purely a business relationship it becomes. And
jana abhayasvini gascha tekshendi.
Cows, when they run out of milk, people send them away to the slaughterhouse to be killed. That always happens, isn't it? So, in Kali, people won't be very tall, but at the same time, they will like to eat well. They will be fond of the food. And some of them will have many children. Okay, in the paper there will be one or two. But there will be a lot of illegitimate children will be born. A lot of illegitimate children. Nobody knows who the father is, who the mother is. And that situation will happen in the society. It's a typical problem in the Kali Yugam. That you will see that's getting worse, isn't it? But if you say, oh, you've got only one child or two children, they will say. But so that means on the records, he has one or two. But there will be so many children born in so many places illegally and illegitimate. That society will be where. And when they get older, parents will be sold. They will get rid of them, the parents. And similarly, parents will sell the children also, if it suits them. All these things will happen in the Kali Yugam. In deity worship, in the temples, the pujaris will be employed, paying money to them. And that's what he says there. That in the, if you look there, you'll see, gascha abhayasvini, vrithyam vipannam padaya kaulam gascha abhayasvini. That anavasthyasi. If there is no money, then wife will throw the husband away. If there is no money. People won't have enough to live on due to the change in the circumstances. And people will generally find it difficult to live in the country, and so they will go into the forest. But forest won't be there for them to go to. And that all the forest also will go away. And in Mahabharata, you will see the same. These are all from the Puranams taken. Bhavishya Puranam is this. And also from Mahabharata, it's taken. And Mahabharata, it says there that the girls will become mother by age of 5 and 6 at a later date. Okay? Later date. That is what we are now talking about, isn't it? The teenage pregnancies and all that. Too early, they become pregnant. So, and then it says that there's a lot you can read through, a direct translation. Shudra prigrahishyanti tabo vidyoba jivina dharmam vakshyandhya dharmanya adhiruhyotama asanam nityamuddhigna manaso durbhikshakara karshidaha nirannay bhudale raja anavrishti bhayadura vaso apana shayanam pana shayanam vyavaya snana bhushanaihi khina pishaja sandarsha bhavishyanti kalau prajaha. That generally people are always in distress in Kali. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. And always their concern will be about food, clothing, and some sense enjoyment. And jewelry won't be there. They won't be wearing any jewelry because they can't wear any jewelry, either fearful of the thieves or whatever. So they'll wear some plastic or something, some silly thing as a jewelry they will wear. and snana bhushanehi hina pishaya sandarsha bhavishyani. In generally, if you look at them, it will be like ghosts. The people will look like ghosts with the dress and the jewelry what they've got and the hair and the whole thing. They won't look very civilized to you, which is true. Most of them, isn't it? So, I mean, it's all the predictions of time to come. It can be worse. Already the symptoms are there in the society, isn't it? Proper way how to live. Na rakshishyanti manija stavirau pidaravabi putran sarvartha kushalan shudra shishnodarambara. The same thing, that people won't look after their parents and the children won't be cared for. All this is due to the advent of this age. And kalauna rajan jagadam param gurum trailokya nathana padabangajam prayana martya bhagavandam achyudam yakshyandi pakhanda vibhinna chedasaha. He says here that this age is such that they'll be confused in spiritual life also. You can see that also very much, isn't it? People are completely confused about spiritual life even. And there will be a lot, all kinds of spiritual understanding in people's mind. And instead of taking Krishna shelter, that they won't do. Everything else they will do in spiritual life, except taking Krishna shelter. So that is why, at that time, Shubhramashi says, Yanna Matheyam Mriyamana Madhura Padan Skalan Vavivasho Granan Puman Vimukta Karmargala Uttamam Gadim Prapno Diyakshandinadau Kalau Janaha Yanna Madheyam Mriyamana Madhura. By taking, at the time of death, or when you are heavily ill, seriously ill, or if anything happens in life while walking, or while traveling, you fell, or you're experiencing a disaster in life, or you're exposed to a very crisis in life. In spite of all that, even when that happens, by chanting whose holy name, you will get come out of that. People won't chant their holy name. Yam namadheyam riyamana madhura padan skalan va vivasho granan puman vimukta karmargala uttamam gadim prapnodi yakshandinadam kalau janaha. Kalijanam, the people of this Kaliyugam, in spite of the fact that by taking Krishna's holy name, there is a shelter there, but they won't take that shelter. They will do all other kinds of things except chanting Krishna's holy name. That is what Shubhramashi is saying, that with a heavy heart. He says, in this age, that is the only shelter, to chant Krishna's holy name. That they won't do, he says there. In namadeyam riyamana madhura padan skhalan va vivasho granan puman vimukta karmargala uttamam gadim prapno diyakshyandi nadam kalau janaha. Kali Janam, or people of the Kali Yugam, they will never do that, he says. They'll not. After saying all that, then another six verses, from then on, he's saying how to get over these problems of Kali Yugam. That's what he's saying there. Pumsam Kaligradan Doshan Drevya Deshalpasam Bhavan Sarvan Haradi Chittasto Bhagavan Purushottamam. So, Krishna, who is present in the heart of everyone, that taking his shelter is most important thing than anything else. And due to that, if you take Krishna's shelter as Antaryami inside, he will resolve a lot of these problems, particularly in relationship with our mind and the senses. Shruta Sangirtado Dhyana Pujitascha Arudo Bhiva Nrunam Dhunodi Bhagavan Kripsto Janma Aidashubham Aidashubham. If somehow or the other Krishna appears in the heart, either by hearing about him, or hearing about his glories, or through meditation, or through deity worship, through the temples, or by your own process of worshipping, whichever it may be, somehow or the other, if Krishna appears in the heart, he can destroy all these vasanas which are inside. Nurnam dunodi bhagavan hrtso janma aida shubham. In many lifetimes, whatever bad vasanas what we have created inside, those vasanas, if Krishna shines inside, Antaryami manifests inside, then he can remove everything. That is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying here. Yadha hemyasthito vanyar durvarnam handi dhatujam evam atmagato vishnur yoginam ashubhashayam. Just like in the gold, when you heat it up, all the impurities are taken away from the gold. Isn't it? When you heat the gold from there. Similarly, Krishna also, when he manifests in the heart, immediately all the impurities goes away from the heart. That's the comparison. Like if you heat the gold, like the goldsmith, when he wants to purify the gold, wants to make it pure gold, then he has to heat it up, eat it up and take all the impurities away. Impurities means like the different other metals, copper or zinc or whatever that is present in the gold, they remove it and purify the gold, isn't it? When we say 24 karat and all that, that's what it means. Pure gold. So, when you heat up and fire takes away everything from there, similarly, he says here that evam alpagalo vishnu yoginam ashubhashayam. If Krishna manifests in the heart, all that impurities in the heart gets destroyed. Vidyata vaprana nirodha maitri tirthabhishega vradadana japyehi atyanda shuddhim labade andar alma yada hridiste bhagavati anande. That if Krishna appears in the heart, then that the way you get purified by Krishna's presence in the heart, that means through Antaryami's realization inside, the way you get purified, that won't happen by any other means. Which means, any other upasana, any other sadhana, upasana, pranayama, austerities, maitri, friendship, tirthasnanam, bathing in the holy places, austerities, charity, mantra japam, chanting the holy name, even that won't purify in the same way like the manifestation of Krishna inside the heart, as Antaryami. And mind will never become pure like the way you get purified through the presence of realization of the Antaryami inside, Atma inside. Tasmal sarva atmana rajan hridistam kuru keshavam mriyamano vevahida tato yasi parangadim. Therefore, my dear king, take to shelter of Krishna, who is the controller of all the other devadas in this world, and establish him inside as Antaryami. And if you take Krishna's shelter in that way, you will have no problems. You will reach the destination. Mriyamanairabhidhyayo Bhagavan Parameshwara Atma Bhavam Nayatyangam Sarvatma Sarva Samshrayaha. Only Krishna alone is the shelter. There is nobody else. Because he is the soul of all living entities. All living entities. And one who takes his shelter, he will take you into your identity, who you are. He will take you to that state to reveal your own identity to you by Krishna's mercy from inside Antaryami. after that is all, he said, then he said in two verses, he is glorifying Kali Yuga. Who? Sudeva Goswami. He is glorifying Kali Yuga. What is he saying? Kaler doshanithe rajan asti keho mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangabaram brajed. Then simply by kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangabaram brajed. Although Kali Yuga has so many faults, Kali Yuga has got so many problems, but there is one good thing about Kali Yuga. One good thing about Kali Yuga, what is that? Kali Yuga's quality is this. Good thing about Kali Yuga is this. That all you have to do is to chant Krishna's holy name. Kirtana deva Krishnasya. Continuously chanting Krishna's names. And mukta sanga param vrajed. And simply by glorifying Krishna, chanting the holy name alone, you will come out of this bondage. Mukta sanga param vrajed. You'll get released from this and go back to Param Prajed, go back to Krishna. Krite yadhyaya de Vishnu Trayayam yajato amakai Dvabare parijariyayam Kalaudad harikirtanal. In Krita Yugam, meditation was the process. Everyone has to meditate on Krishna. All people were very capable. They had that strength of mind and concentration and focused. They were in spiritual life, that there were a lot of peace inside they had. So they were very established in the truth. So therefore their knowledge was good and their realizations were good. So therefore they were able to execute severe austerities and penances, and they were always absorbed in the transcendental knowledge, what Krishna has given in the Satyugam. In Tredayugam, the things got changed. They lost that strength. They got involved in performing sacrifices, became the process. Sacrifices, performing sacrifices. That's what you see. Dasharatha performed Putragameshti. That is sacrifice. For having the children. Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Bharata, Shatrughna were born from that. Similarly, you can see Yudhishthira Maharaj performed so many sacrifices. This is all happening in the Tridayugam. Tredayugam's nature is full of sacrifices. A lot of the stories in the Bhagavatam is from the Tredayugam stories. What you read there? Prithu Maharaj performing sacrifices. Similarly, Ashwamedham and Prajina Barhis performing sacrifices. Yudhishthira performing sacrifices. Many, many kings, Yudhishthira and Parikshit also sacrifices. Mahabali performing sacrifices. All these are that Tredayugam's influence. Tredayugam's influence. In Dwapara Yugam, it has changed again. Deity worship has become very prominent. Deity worship has become very prominent. And that means glorious temples were built and deities were worshipped in a big scale. That Dwapara Yugam's effect on the society. That's how temples have come into existence. Big temples have come. But in Kali Yugam, but we are just very close to Dwapara Yugam. We have not left Dwapara Yugam yet. Kali Yugam, we have only done 5,000 years. It's not that it finishes one day, another day it starts. It's always there's an overlap in all these things. So you will see certain things in the Dwapara Yugam existing in Kali Yugam. And also when the Kali situation becomes very acute, when the situation gets really bad, that is when Krishna is saying here, Kalautad Harigirtanam. Only shelter is Krishna's holy name. People won't be capable of doing anything else. They won't be capable of performing sacrifices. They won't be capable of performing deity worship. And they won't want to talk about performing meditation, like in the Krita Yugam. They'll be simply come to this state that if they can chant the holy name, that itself is considered to be highly spiritual activity. If you can just chant, it'll be considered as a high, greatest spiritual activity. Kali Yugam will develop in that way. That is what he is saying there. So, so that is that verse. And he says here, it is in this situation that the people of the age of Kali will come and and that will be the end of the Kali Yuga. And therefore, in some Shastram they will say that Kali Yuga is also glorified. Kali Yuga is also glorified. Why? Because these spiritual activities in Kali Yuga are easy to perform, to chant the holy name. But all other things associated with chanting one has to follow as well. Just because you are chanting the holy name doesn't mean that other things are to be ignored. That is not the way it is. That Shastram is giving us some hint about the bad times that is coming, and to adjust our spiritual life accordingly. That's all you can do. Adjust your spiritual life. Do not expect such perfection in anything in Kali Yuga. It won't happen. But holy name is one shelter in the age of Kali. Is the only shelter in the age of Kali. Because to do anything perfectly is difficult in Kali. That is why a simple process like this has been given to us. Given to us. So, we have to discuss this again. Tomorrow we will continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.